You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is liberty. Each week, we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at johnnyrocketlaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty. Rock and roll.
Hey there, Liberty lovers. This is Mark Clare of the Lions of Liberty podcast, where we strive to bring you great conversations about the ideas of liberty 3 days a week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Check us out at lionsofliberty.com.
Hey guys, this is Roger Paxton, and if you're fed up with the government running every single aspect of your life, but you're not listening to the Lava Flow podcast yet, then what's wrong with you? Check us out at thelavaflow.com, or just go back to sucking up to the government. The Lava Flow podcast, striking the root every single episode.
We are supported by listeners like you. Donate per month or make a one-time donation through PayPal or Patreon at wearelibertarians.com. Welcome to We Are Libertarians. I am your host, Chris Spangle. We Are Libertarians brings you all of the irreverence modern politics deserves. Think of us as the love child of the National Review and Mad Magazine. We explain to you what the hell is happening in our world today and how we can fix it by thinking differently. So please be sure to rate and review us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, share this episode with friends, and support us through PayPal or Patreon at wearelibertarians.com. We are supported by listeners like you, so $1 per episode by pledging $5 a month helps us grow. And we're always taking your comments and questions via email at editor@wearelibertarians.com. Here comes the new part. If you're new to the program, we catch up for the first 20 minutes or so and then deep dive into analyzing current events and society from a libertarian perspective. This show is for adults by semi-adults, so please be warned, the language is strong and offensive. I am Chris Spangle, as I told you before, and with me, as always, is the beautiful Greg Lenz. How are you?
I don't know about beautiful, but happy Covfefe.
I am so Covfefe'd out.
It's done. It's over. It's not funny anymore.
I'm saying. I'm so full of Covfefe. No, and you're going to have to talk right into that mic, Creighton.
It's been 24 hours that it's over now.
The 58th episode of Creighton Harrington, and he still hasn't figured this fucking 60th. Shit out.
He's just salty that 60th. He isn't one of the people that knows what it means.
I rode that train as long as I could, and I think some of my jokes were the best. A lot of people, just bad jokes, but I think it's over. It's been 24
this
hours.
This podcast is kind of a long-running bad joke.
It's really, honestly.
It's my life.
That other laugh that you hear is the effervescent Matt Whitliff. How are you, Matt?
Hello. Glad to be here, Chris.
Appearing on his second episode.
Woohoo.
And Kat Anagnos.
Hello. Thank you.
Great to be back.
She's
manning the Snapchat for us. We have a filter. I paid $5 for a Snapchat filter. Twice today because
nice.
I got a message. I was shitting this morning at 8 o'clock, and
that's relevant. That's relevant.
That's
when
I do my best work.
Well, did you go in the men's or women's though? Because that's the real.
No, I was here.
Oh, you were here. Okay.
Yeah. So fortunately, I was here, and I got a message that said.
So it was unisex.
Yes.
It's gender neutral.
Asexual.
Yeah, asexual.
It's all the sexes happen in there. Let me tell you. And so
Blumpkins for all genders.
Oh, no.
Do you know what a Blumpkin is, Kat?
Yeah, I went to middle school.
Oh. Whoa.
Casablanca.
She just like juvenile shamed us for
so much sass.
Sorry.
Kat and I have been together now for 12 hours.
Yeah, it's been a lot. He actually left me to go take a nap.
I did.
What did you do?
I watched TV and answered my email.
It was 6 o'clock, an hour before everybody got here, and I was like, listen. You stay here. I'm going to take a nap. And she...
he's, you know, a gracious host. There's nothing he enjoys more than hosting young ladies in his, you know, luxury apartment.
I know how to woo them, don't I? So, Kat's...
I'm glad she's here. She was talking about cutting up the stream.
Yeah. I honestly, like, I only came for the fans, you know.
Yeah, your
mean?
Scars aren't even showing. You look good.
No, they're not. After I accidentally gave instruction on how to commit suicide
properly.
Last episode. Mm-hmm. Properly. I decided to just run the Snapchat this episode.
Yeah. So I get a message from Snapchat saying, hey, your filter's been approved. And I'm like, oh, AM, not PM. So I did the only thing I could do, which was take a photo of my cat while I was on the toilet. and announce to the world that my mistake, which you can see at the on the Instagram at We Are Libertarians. But we'll have some. Our Snapchat is We the Letter R Libertarians, and you can add us there. Feel
I love
free.
The new icon. It's a you know, a typical libertarian in a fedora.
Yeah, okay. I made a Bitmoji of your typical libertarian, and he's got a neck beard. It looks just like me, but with a fedora
and then brunette.
Yeah, and
he doesn't dance though.
So this coming Saturday night, we will have one of our legendary parties at Jeremiah Morrill's house. Greg, are you hydrating?
I'm excited. I can't wait to see how Jeremiah Morrill tops it, because he was like, it was like the hangover in Newcastle for him, though, alone. No one else was going wild.
Like a hangover like the movie, using the Newcastle. Movie. Like, yeah. Using Newcastle.
Yeah, like if you took it and put it in suburban Newcastle.
No, I mean, it's pretty much Vegas.
No, I was making
I mean, James Nee skinny dipped.
Making a beer joke.
And jumped off the roof into a pool in 52-degree water.
I heard about that, but like, that's not really unexpected.
Nee without clothes, though, shockingly what you would expect.
Yeah. Definitely.
Skinny as hell?
4chan-esque.
Yeah.
It's like he just has 4chan. And archive boards all over his body.
He's the tattoo.
Pole boards.
He's got tattooed all over him.
He had. He was circumcised, but he had echoes on each side of his dick. So
I think when we're
shalom,
if this is the topic of the show, we have definitely hit rock bottom.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
it'll go further.
So lots of entertaining stuff heading your way on Saturday night on the Snapchat. So please check that out. We may or may not post a recap of it, depending on how crunk Jeremiah Morrill gets.
Yeah.
We're trying to talk Kat into. I spent all day trying to talk Kat into going.
She committed outside.
I did. You missed it.
Trying to get a 20-year-old female to a libertarian party. I did the impossible, and then Greg walks in and goes, oh, lots of creepers.
Yeah, I was warned about the creepertarian.
It's a real phenomenon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can handle it, but most girls, your sister couldn't handle it.
No. Yeah. She told me, not go there. Do not wear a bathing suit.
Last year, post national convention, she had 400 friend requests after a long weekend.
But she had to have Bittner protect her. Do you know how, like, when Bittner's the least creepy libertarian at a convention, you know you're in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, she had a booth right at the entrance to the main hall. Yeah. So it was just like, oh.
Hey.
Hello.
Now,
can I meet you?
Covered in pimples and look like a librarian.
Oh.
Now, did she actually say not to wear a bathing suit? Was this a private conversation?
No, she said it in the group chat that you were a part of.
Oh,
she
okay.
said, don't go, don't wear a bathing suit.
All right.
So I'll show up in my bathing suit from, what is it, ShopMart? And
ShopMart?
I don't know. I just made a generic name because I don't know about our branding on the show. But
we're not sponsored by Kmart, unfortunately.
We don't anticipate venture.
That would be a big step.
We don't anticipate venture to come out of bankruptcy. Oh. And
well, hey, I don't know. But
we're the parents. Brought to you by Circuit City.
Right. Well, I thought Apple. God. Maybe I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'll show up in my
swimming cap.
My long pants. And shirt.
Your Amish swimsuit.
Right, yeah, my bonnet.
Don't show any ankle,
though. If you showed up in Olympic swimming gear, that would be hilarious.
Yeah.
I might do some synchronized swimming routines.
Like my God. Thing.
Like you did with Jeremiah Morrill's sister last year.
We goggles and everything, the nose thing.
I made Hannah Morrill great again.
You did.
You
liberated her.
Threw her right in the pool. I took Jeremiah's little sister, 19-year-old little sister, and manhandled her right in the pool. It's not sexual, though. She's like a sister to me. So...
Well, disclaimer. Given your porn tastes, I don't know.
So I was...
Want to see a magic trick?
That's a good one. Okay. So I'm on the Johnny Rocket launch pad next week. It airs next week. So if you're not downloading the Johnny Rocket launch pad, listen to it. He goes, you saved my ass, man. You filibustered the whole time. You wouldn't shut up, but I only had 4 questions for you, so it worked out. And so there's an after party that you can get if you subscribe to the Johnny Rocket Launchpad. And in the questions, he solicited questions from the audience, and one of the questions was from one of our listeners going, what is Spangle's opinion on stepsisters? So
I love our listeners.
I wasn't at home. I was at somebody else's house and had to talk about stepsister porn. So I thank the We Are Libertarians listener that was. I'm going to find that name and we're going to publicly shame them right now.
I don't think you're going to shame them as much as like
laugh,
make them
legendary.
Famous. Yeah,
great again.
Yeah,
they're just exactly. It's going to encourage it. Yeah, what's going to happen?
You shouldn't have said anything, because now next time you're going to have like 18 people calling about stepsister porn.
Oh, stepsister porn is so hot right now.
Or worse, people are going to show up to this creepitarian party that I'm going to be at, and I just publicly said that, and well...
You committed, so don't back out.
I think that was some marketing right there.
I know. Well, I think, have you met that?
I don't know.
We did just meet. We had a firm handshake.
Yeah?
It was. It was a firm handshake.
But
was
that's
it
very the only, firm? That's the only touch, right?
I have never been sexually harassed at We Are Libertarians.
That's right. I've got
really?
A well-trained. Jake Oliver.
She's
Jake,
been trained.
Jake Oliver is the shithead of the week. Mark Claire asked, how many permanent scars does he have from the Great Meme Wars of 2016? So you'll have to go back and listen to my answer on that. So first I want to take...
In-depth, you know, libertarian commentary. Oh. Meme Wars and stepsister porn.
It was great. This is
what everyone's talking about right now.
Honestly, if Gary Johnson would have talked about those topics more, he'd hit that 5% mark.
Listen,
he might have.
Forget about Aleppo. Like.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, he already forgot about it.
Right.
Yeah. Honestly, the Johnny Rocket Launch Pad is the only place that I can be myself and talk like we talk here. It's the only other libertarian podcast. I called C. Michael Pickens a cunt at one point.
So, that's what the C stands for.
Right. C.
you went formal.
Right. So I went all out on that episode. So you'll have to check it out. I couldn't do that on Tom Woods. I'd love to go on Tom Woods' show. He's a wonderful man and a great benefit. Very serious.
But he recommends us, which is always shocking.
Yeah. He's a scholar. He would not let me say cunt on his podcast, no. I'm sure. So, nor would I. I wouldn't. I would show him the respect he deserves, unlike Johnny. Speaking of respect, let me take a moment to thank 812 Farms. They are our great sponsor of this episode. They are a 2-acre commercial hop farm providing breweries and home brewers with fresh hops, whole cone hops, and hop pellets. They're opening a 250-seat wedding event venue right now on the farm down there in beautiful Bartholomew County, Indiana, Columbus, Indiana. So be sure to check that out. They just acquired a complete brewing system to open up their own restaurant and brewery, and they're striving to be Indiana's first destination brewery. So there's a lot of great breweries, but there's only one 812 farm, so please check it out. They have all the ingredients for restaurant and breweries. They will be grown on site with or within a 30-mile radius. They're really committed to being a local destination and support local farmers. So please go like their Facebook page. It's all spelled out. It's not the letters. It's 812 Farms. Please give them a like. Even if you're in, you know, Alaska, if you're one of our listeners in Texas or California, please go like 812 Farms. Just let them know that how much we appreciate them. Sorry, my pussy just scared the shit out of Matt Whitliff. Mittens came in flying out of nowhere.
The pussy jumped on the table, then showed its asshole right out of it. You don't see that every day.
Well, I was busy looking at this asshole like on Wikipedia just to confirm that he is from Bartholomew County.
Yeah. He is.
Mike Pence is from Columbus, Indiana, but we do not hold that against 812 Farms. Kat immediately walked into my apartment today and started scratching on the post. I was like, good. She's,
oh, yeah, I did.
Did you really?
Yeah.
She literally did.
I had a hangnail, and I just needed to file it down real quick.
Oh, self-awareness just went right out the window.
Right. <Yeah.
laughs> So lots of great stuff happening in the world of We're Libertarians. We're going to have a fun party. We've got cats. We've got Kat Anagnos.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be joining us a lot here on the show. So how can people follow you if they want to?
Sign up on my Club Penguin account. No, I'm kidding.
Club Penguin. Club not Penguin. Not one person around this table knew what that meant.
What is that?
She's Gen Z, man.
What's Club Penguin?
Club Penguin. It's like a game where everybody like middle schoolers make a little penguin and you can talk to each other. It was really cool in 2008. But anyways, follow me.
2008.
2008.
What grade were you in 2008?
Oh boy.
Well, no. Honestly, I just threw that number out there because it sounded right. But I feel like I was sixth or seventh grade. Yeah.
God.
Wait, right?
Stop.
2000.
Creighton, how old are you?
I'm 27.
Yep.
You were just a babe when I met you. You were
21-year-old, right?
See, you're not that much older than me.
Well, I was 18 when you were in 6th and 7th grade.
Yeah. You got to talk into the mic, Creighton.
I was 18.
He was the star running back for Decatur Central High School.
Which is like
slaying thoughts.
I could throw a football over them there mountains.
No, but follow me at Katanagnos on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter. Sorry.
Please. She loves attention. So
yeah, I really love attention. I don't get enough at home, so that's why I'm here.
She told me that she only wants to be famous because she feels like her opinions need to be heard. Literally verbatim outside.
I said it in a half-joking way.
Why do you think we do this, Greg?
Yeah, let's be real.
You never told me this was recorded for like a year. I just thought we were having like a private discussion, and then all of a sudden, you know, these shitlords start adding me. Like, Aaron.
Boy, has that phrase been said a lot in this apartment.
Yes, it has.
You didn't say you were recording me. That's a joke. Just a joke.
So thank you for listening to We Are Libertarian. No.
Yes. What's our favorite phrase, Kat?
I have never been sexually harassed at We Are Libertarians.
Thank you.
Incorporated.
No, not incorporated. Not yet. One day, maybe. Creighton, how have you been?
Still in school, still doing all the boring stuff.
Fascinating.
Last semester, right?
Next semester is the last semester.
Your last semester. Yep. Computer science?
Yep, I've been in school for going on 10 years now.
10 years. Wow.
It'll be 10 years if I graduated next year.
So you're graduating.
It took a little while to get that out, too.
It's 9 years. It's 9 years, which...
Two-year hiatus for Young Americans for Liberty?
Yeah, I spent time doing Young American. I spent time doing Liberty stuff.
I was libertying.
Yeah, I was doing Liberty stuff that required me to leave school.
You wouldn't understand.
But then I went back.
Not even
to
LARPing. Either.
No, not... Yeah. This is the Free State Project.
Right? I mean... My guns were made of metal, not out of Nerf.
Not out of Nerf. Yeah, you... So I spent 20 hours last weekend organizing our RSS
feed. You did. I couldn't believe you did
Holy
that.
Holy shit. Why?
You went full autism deep dives.
I do. It's the attention to details that make us great.
Brandy.
Okay?
Brandy.
Is it the attention to details?
It is the attention to details.
Because God knows that everyone, now that I've had 60 episodes, God knows we're going to have that many more listeners.
If you don't talk into that microphone, I'm going to take it off that stand and beat you with
you
it.
You need to get a better microphone.
You pull
man.
It close to you.
I really just want to stand. No, I'm kidding.
You want right. this? I'll trade you. Swear to God.
I feel like this is pretty close. Any more than it's going to be something we should start
recording. You have to pretend that is Galt's penis. That's how you have to treat that.
See, I already made the joke. You can't make the joke. I just made the joke.
But Galt.
No.
Chris Galt.
I know.
Your buddy.
Yeah, I know who he is.
Go down on that like a tower.
That was nice. That was a good one.
If you go to wal.fireside.fm, you can sort by all the guest hosts, all the hosts. Greg... You've been on like 150, I think it was.
Yeah. I can't believe Bittner had been on 20. That offends me.
Matt has it pulled up. So Bittner has been on like 20, 21. Greg's been on 150 some, I think. Go to the host page, and then you can see the numbers.
Mine are all the loud ones.
Yeah. Bittner's been on more than Maya, which was surprising to me. Galt, how many has Galt been on?
Galt's got 32.
All right, 32. That was it. Then we asked him to leave. Creighton, how many has Creighton got?
59. Well, 59.
Now 60.
Now 60.
Yeah. Matt's been on once. How many was Gina on?
Gina is 24.
24. Okay, Gina was on a lot. Yeah.
How about Greg? For a long stretch, it was just like it was me, you, her.
Yep.
And Joe, right?
Greg,
no, Joe Greg rarely. Was
a lot, I came on a couple episodes, and then Galt had that.
I think it was Greg.
That issue.
The incident.
Yeah, the
Creighton.
Greg,
Creighton totally patriarchied him and said, "Yeah, the accident."
Yeah,
you know, forget Google Chat. It sucks.
Greg's been on since around.
I'll never link a meme again.
It's gotten a little bit better since then. But
how many's Harry been on?
27.
Okay, Harry's been on a lot.
Well, times 3.5.
Yeah.
Point six. Yeah, point
so,
six.
So yeah, we've got quite the cast and crew. So you can go and check out. This was a stunning fact to me. Rob Kendall,
21,
mm-hmm. 21 episodes with Rob Kendall.
Well, that was when you liked him.
Yes. Well, listen, I have a big announcement regarding Rob Kendall.
I swear to God, if you say he needs to apologize to you,
he needs to apologize.
I swear to God.
But Tuesday on Tad Talk.
Mm-hmm.
The apology is going to happen.
Will it actually?
That's the condition. That's the deal that Tad has negotiated for us. So Rob and Tad and I are getting together for a peace summit between Rob Kendall and I on Tuesday, and we're going to record Tad Talk. So you've got to get Tad Talk if you want to hear Rob apologize, not only to me, but to all of the listeners of We Are Libertarians.
Well, they're in you can't separate the two.
We were talking about passive-aggressive libertarian shit earlier.
Oh, that's every bit as real as the creepertarian phenomenon.
I'm not passive-aggressive.
That's not very passive.
I'm just aggressive.
That's the most polite aggressive I've ever heard.
So, well, that's all I have. I mean, that's my aggression. I mean, So yes.
The face isn't getting as red as I would expect.
No, Tad Western is a phenomenon, okay? He's getting 1,300 downloads an episode. We Are Libertarians is up over 8,000. Tad Talk is getting 1,000. On all the rest of our podcasts, The Boss Hog of Liberty, Miranda's World, The Chris Spangle Show, they're all getting over 500 downloads an episode, which is fantastic. And thank you guys so much for listening to the other active shows. If you go and you go to WeAreLibertarians.com or our SoundCloud page, you can go back and listen to all of the shows. There's some shows that we don't talk about anymore, like the original Storytime with Gina back in 2013. Lots of hidden archive stories of Married Spangle.
God damn, is that 2013?
That was 2013. Fuck.
Mittens had just lost to Barack Obama.
Yeah. We have done this since March of 2012, and we've got 300 items in the feed. And I have been on how many of them?
Not all of them,
okay. Because there was a period when I got divorced in 2014.
Yeah. That's right. 6 months.
And I called in. Did you get the one where I was like, did that count towards my?
You got 270.
Yeah.
270. Okay. 270. So yeah, I've been on the majority of them. And then Greg.
I tried to piecemeal it together with Joe and Creighton. And one time I let Dan Peffers. And that was a colossal mistake.
Gotta love Peppers.
Did my speech count as a guest?
Until you made us take it down, pussy.
That's true.
It was on the episode.
Well, I was, to be fair, I was almost fired.
It was in the 50s. It was labeled Independence Day, if you want to hear Creighton give the Independence Day speech.
Mankind.
Somebody
knocked at the door.
Probably. Hi, Lisa. Come on in.
I'm here.
Our friend Lisa Crosby, she's a supporter of the program and a great friend. She lives in Florida. Lisa flies up from Florida for the We Are Libertarians parties. Have a seat here.
Right.
And she, for Greg, wore a low-cut shirt for you today, buddy. So it was in your honor. So Lisa...
Tad Western's signature's no longer on there. I'm disappointed.
Here's the mic here. Yep.
Where's Tad Western at?
Tad wasn't invited.
I thought you were invited now.
No, why would I? No, the only reason you came. All right, well, you can leave. So, so Tad's not here. Tad, you'll have to wait till Saturday to see Tad Western. Pick up that mic, please.
I'm not going
to
be there Saturday, so I wanted him to be here.
Wait a minute, why not?
I'm going to his house right now.
You should.
The ranch.
I'm going to the ranch right now.
Yeah.
Why aren't you going to be there? I thought you flew up for the party.
No.
No, not for the party. I just told Jeremiah this. I had to explain to him. I flew out for his last party. I didn't fly out for this party.
Why not? What are you doing
I do have other friends.
No, you don't.
Other than the people I stalk on Facebook.
Right. You're very aggressive towards Tad.
Very. I love Tad.
What are some of the things that you're posting on his wall?
I tell him that I look in his windows now that I'm here.
Right.
We're going to get married. We're going to get married. My last name is going to be Western.
Okay. How does your live-in boyfriend, Tony, feel about this?
I've told him. He's okay. As soon as it happens, he'll be fine with it.
As long as it's Western.
Because that's going to help my whole libertarian campaign thing. Western.
It's like being a Kennedy.
Yeah. That sounds good. Yeah, I know. It's like really important.
When you've been a longtime boyfriend and your woman says, I'm going to marry Tad Western, you go, all right, you're off my hands.
Exactly.
Right?
Oh, God.
Yeah. I'm offended. I'm hurt. I think you not only owe me an apology,
you owe
the listeners an apology, but most importantly, you owe the Boss Hog of Liberty an apology for not coming to the party.
I'm going to see if Jeremiah will let me go to his podcast the next time he does one, because I'll be here all next week. I'll be in Newcastle.
Okay, so see your friends those days.
Bring your friends.
No, I'm going to try to come Saturday night.
I don't accept try. Try is not in my vocabulary. You're going to do
it. I won't be there all night for sure if I do come.
Or so. You're not going to do it.
Nobody will get to listen to me. I won't get to listen to anybody else all night.
You.
What is that supposed to mean? Fuck you.
You were quite the hit at the last party. I'll avenge you, Greg. You were quite a hit at the last party. Do you want to talk about that?
A real splash.
A real splash, yes.
Yes. You are the reason that I saw James Neese's penis.
Yes.
So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
You
literally, that was nice, wasn't it?
You literally raped James Neese.
I do. I kind of felt bad about it afterwards.
Did you?
Because he just stood there. I think he was so messed up, he didn't realize I was getting him undressed.
No, that was the cough syrup, the entire bottle he had drank.
The cough syrup.
Yeah, that's what she said.
I know. I just, like, took off all his clothes, and he did not, like, I think he fought, like, I just did it.
I feel like a guy who eats out of dumpsters probably isn't, like, nudity is not a problem for him.
No.
Yeah.
He's an urban survivalist.
Right.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
You know, I've never even really talked to James Neese.
You know how he got ballot access? He got ballot access by going around with tall boys of Bud Light and knocking on sleeping truckers at a truck stop.
Really? Honest?
Yeah, that's how he did it.
You turn your mic off, Creighton.
He taught his 2-year-old how to slam burritos.
This is
and shotgun
the worst
beers.
Mic. I've got the worst mic.
You're literally looking like this.
So you're okay. So
let me hold on. Let me correct that. You have the worst mic technique. Don't blame
Mike. I brushed it and it turned it off.
Don't blame my equipment. What would you?
Okay,
what?
So Clayton.
Yes, that's Clayton.
Cat?
Clayton. Yep. Creighton.
Okay, Creighton.
Creighton.
Cat.
Matt.
She knows who I am.
Now
I know I'm a real stalker. Wow. I really am.
How excited are you to come to this party now?
Well, I'm pretty excited now.
All right.
Let's be real. That was such a delayed response. I just had like a little stroke. Sorry.
Yeah.
She was a little bit scared because I'm like, I know who you are.
Yeah, I'm a little bit uncomfortable. A little uncomfy, but no, I'm excited. Yeah. I mean, I go to college, so how bad can it be? Cuts to scenes like our recap video, like people throwing up in the bushes.
Nice.
No, I'm kidding.
No, it'll just be a lot of standing around talking about taxation.
That's like every
theft.
College party I've ever been to, though. Just throwing up in the bushes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Throwing up on the way back to the dorm.
Did anybody throw up at Jeremiah's house?
It's not a party.
So.
And the good thing is if you get naked now, the water's not going to be as cold
right.
as it was.
If you get what?
Naked.
Well, it's not going to be... how do you top that? It's not a big deal to skinny dip in like 75 or 78 degree water.
Right.
It's like 50 degree weather.
You didn't even have to skinny dip, and if you went in the water, that'd be a testament to your...
Yeah. Jesus. I feel like if anybody gets naked there this time, it's just like, whatever.
Yeah.
I already been there.
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Lost the t-shirt.
Don't let that dissuade you, though.
I want to get on the roof. How high is this roof?
Yeah.
It's like 6 feet. So
almost.
You're good.
So
I'm getting
we need
out.
To have like an almost famous moment.
So there you go.
We need to just bring in the entire.
That's what Neese did. Neese came like Rey Mysterio Jr. off of the roof.
He did.
And did like a Hurricane Rana into the pool. Kept the cigarette above the water surface.
The whole time, man.
Got out butt naked, walked out of the steps and smoked it.
He did. He was.
Looking at Jeremiah's parents
like,
naked.
He was perfect.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wear a GoPro. And we're going to film this like a Project X kind of thing.
Yes.
That would be awesome.
And we're
going
to upload it.
We're Libertarians the movie.
Exactly. Like, there we go. That's
we definitely
what we're
have to set something on fire then.
Honestly.
Wow.
We're going to praise Moloch.
I spent all of our budget on meat.
Berries.
On berries.
What?
Kat and I have been together for 12 hours.
So around hour six and a half, I started to get a little slap happy.
Meat and berries?
That's all it took was 6
They're
steps.
Vegan.
So
meat and berries.
I took her into the Costco. And
I've never been before. It was great.
Yeah, and so we had a great time, but I was buying party.
You've never lived.
I was buying.
Sam's Club, yo.
This is what white people feel like all the time. Industrial sized mayonnaise.
So I was buying.
Two pianos for the price of one.
So I bought all the supplies. I bought all the meat. And she just looks down and goes.
I said, my name's Chris Spangle. I'm a berry enthusiast. It really wasn't
funny.
But we were laughing so hard at Costco. And then...
Because I had raspberries,
and like
blackberries,
blueberries, so many.
Strawberries.
We were walking in the dairy aisle, and I don't remember what we were talking about, but Spangle was like... You remember?
Yeah, I go, you need to learn to not give a fuck.
And this like middle-aged woman pushing a cart alone turns to me, laughs, and says, yeah. He's going. And from that moment I knew Costco needs to sponsor We Are Libertarians.
That'll never happen.
You have to I'll realize like I'm like this all the time.
Give us free 24 packs of Faygo.
I'm berries.
Over there.
Yeah.
I'm genuinely like this all the time, and so when I'm in the middle of Costco, I just don't, I don't give a, I don't think that there might be people listening to our conversation, and she's just, you know, 20, and I'm teaching her a lot about life.
Life lessons.
Life lessons, and one of them is you give too many fucks, because you're 20, and you just need to not give a fuck, and half the aisle just started laughing at us.
Yeah.
And then they joined in, and they were like, yeah, you need, today's the day.
Yeah, cut up the river, hun.
And next thing
little, little.
So it's all old people, though.
Yeah. And next thing I know, like, people were doing my taxes for me. Like, it was great.
Yeah, you can get an engagement ring, lawn furniture, and, you know, liquidated khakis.
Oh, wow.
Liquidated khakis.
Yeah. A bicycle and a two-pack of Jim Carrey movies from 1993.
Kirkland vodka. Mm-hmm. You're good to go. It's premium.
And I'm not trying to be insensitive, but there was a very pale boy in the frozen aisle.
Pale?
Like, very pale.
Like,
and
albino?
He looked, okay, I'm not going to lie. He looked like a school shooter.
Oh, you know did, he have the, did he have the cupcake haircut?
Yeah.
Is that where we're at now?
What was
school shooter, I mean, if you're pale.
Do they sell guns?
You're pale and a bad haircut.
Do they sell ammunition?
I wouldn't think in the frozen aisle.
Not in the frozen aisle.
It's not wrong.
Yeah, stereotypes happen for a reason.
I mean, I'm not trying to be in the nicest way possible. I almost called the police.
Did he have a trench coat on?
No, he had, like, just this creepy outfit. Like the outfit you pick when you know it's, you know.
What would you do in the
day? Don't go to school, girl, fam. He'll probably be at the party then.
Oh, God.
That's the chair of Delaware County.
So, she's learning so much with me. Today, we took her to her first storage unit, which, let me tell you, when you have a young girl in the car with you and you say, we're going to the storage unit.
People turned heads.
I've seen this movie.
We pull up and she goes, what do people keep in there?
Well, okay, every TV show I've ever seen, dead bodies are found.
Right.
So I ask, I'm like, I mean, do you think there's, reasonable. Like, because, okay, think about it. If you drain a river, there's definitely a dead body. So I'm thinking, if you empty out a storage unit facility, there's got to be a dead body.
Definitely. With the pale white guy,
the
freezing thing.
Right.
He's getting more ice for his.
But every single one of the garages. There's also people who just need to store stuff somewhere.
Right.
So it could just have a bunch of garage sale stuff.
Well, speaking of garage sale stuff, if the viewers out there want to know what was in Spangle's storage unit, a single basketball, a set of golf clubs, and a lot of boxes. I didn't open them.
Books.
Libertarian books.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm Chris Spangle. So Spangle. I'm a libertarian.
So Spangle's the one who's going to kill us.
No.
There wasn't even a hint of irony. She was literally like, do people keep dead bodies in these? I'm like, I think that's illegal.
No, you cut the heads off, you put them in a jar in here and let them pickle. Right. Yeah. And then you put
with
the bodies in
your libertarian room. Books.
You bury them under the house in the crawl space.
I can see.
And then you dress
those
as
with the freezers and stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I like freezers.
Can we bring her, around more?
Dead bodies are vegan.
Those are really expensive ones, though.
The big 50-gallon barrels. I mean,
of mayonnaise?
Oh, yeah.
Of what?
Pickle them.
Ooh, the barrels.
Yeah,
the barrels.
All right. Everybody, let's pause for a second. I need to adjust something. So, through the magic of radio, you will experience no time shifting.
He has to erase everything we just said so that the feds don't come kick the door down. You guys are very informed.
Voila. All right. Always, even in the middle of the episodes, working hard to make sure that we have the perfect quality sound, even though the OG co-host doesn't know when to shut the fuck up while somebody else is talking on the podcast.
There was something interesting going on in the corner.
We need to get Creighton a conch, and we'll pass the conch while you cannot speak unless you have the conch, Creighton.
I told him.
Bahamas. Yeah. I could have brought it.
You have to talk right into that mic like you're doing a certain activity.
I could have brought you. I'll send it to you.
Yeah. you know, she's.
It's a conch. Not a conch.
I think a conch, yeah.
Conch.
Yeah, conch.
Yeah.
I say conch. You say a box of cockolets? No, you say chocolates. It's conch.
Chocolate.
I'm going to play this chord. No.
All right, we got a lot to cover here. We got a lot to do today. We got a lot of news that we're going to cover for you. Greg has prepared great show notes. Creighton perused them. He goes, he had the gall to sit down and go, what are we covering tonight? And I go, did you see the 27 pages of autism that Greg
It wasn't a separate chat that he wasn't in.
Yeah.
I read over it.
And Creighton follows the news pretty close.
It's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, those are just facts. That's not the important part. You know, the important part's digesting it anyway. I'm used to them being ignored and my autism being mocked. My spectrum problem.
You know.
Today, Kat asked the difference between autism and Down syndrome, and I said, I don't know.
Well, I mean, Greg has both, so.
Well, autistic kids don't get to, they don't have an elevator on their bus. It's okay, only way to tell.
I'm not going to lie, I was just Googling it.
There you go.
The Down syndrome.
Which part, autism, or what is the difference between autism?
I like to read.
Can autistic people be Downs?
Hey, it's common. More than 200
into Google Trends. Yeah, right?
Just don't let an extra chromosome get you down.
I
next time they show those.
That's the difference there.
I said, oh, wow. So I said, the boy at the track that liked you, that had a crush on you, but when he looked at you and talked to you but stared at his shoes, that's autism.
I just think that's being socially awkward or intimidated by my greatness.
That's because you're the non-binary generation that doesn't like labels.
Right. Which, speaking of that, I'm going to reveal my gender by the end of this episode.
Oh, excellent.
Awesome. I've been waiting.
She's been keeping us in suspense about her gender.
You've been going to classes now, right?
Yeah. Wow, she's a fan.
I know. I told you. I'm like,
yeah,
I'm flattered.
She's a total creep.
I'm a total creepy.
All right, so let's start. Let's start in on the news. We've got a lot to cover. Let's start with the Supreme Court provocation rule. Greg, give us a summary of what we're about to dive into.
Yeah, so the Supreme Court ruled on a case that the Ninth Circuit had sort of created a theory called provocation rule, where the act of an illegal search would create provocation and allow you to defend yourself. And so, by the Supreme Court overturning the Ninth Circuit, now a police officer can do an illegal search and seizure in the middle of the night, not identify themselves. You think you're being broken in on, and so you pull out a gun to defend yourself. They can shoot you dead, and there is no repercussion.
That happened in Indiana, didn't it?
Yeah, and so the Ninth Circuit had basically created law. That is the one thing about the Ninth Circuit they have a history of doing with judicial activism. They had created this rule by deciding that a police officer doing so, the Ninth Circuit ruled that they would also get $4.1 million because they were living in the back of, in like a shack in California. They were poor. And the cop went back there. Apparently he had reasonable, you know, he had justification for doing so. He goes back there. The guy has a BB gun to shoot varmints away. He tells you the kind of shack that he was living in with his pregnant wife, and then shoots the pregnant wife. And so the Ninth Circuit, though, awarded $4.1 million, but because the Supreme Court overturned it, now nada. But so basically it's saying that a cop now can commit an illegal search and seizure, and you're supposed to just be okay with it. So it could either be a robber, or it could be a cop in the middle of the night doing a no-knock raid.
That's what happened in Indy back in, what, 5 or 6 years ago?
Yeah, right when we were starting this off.
And then the state house, they've got such an uproar, and then the state house passed a law to basically say that this Indiana Supreme Court thing doesn't count like that anymore.
Yeah, and it's also a nuanced case because they did have legal issues or, you know, problems with the law in the past. So when you're searching for someone that has a history of a criminal background, that's also, it hasn't been clearly decided or ruled upon. It's sort of up in the air on legal precedent on whether or not that's justification for, you know, having suspicion. But I mean, we're at the point now where cops just operate with complete immunity. I mean, they can come into your house in the middle of the night without a warrant, with no justification, and you're supposed to say, well, that could be a cop. I'm not going to defend my pregnant
wife.
No, they
can come into the middle of the night, kill your dogs, shoot you.
Who shoots
and
dogs?
And then you get sued by them because they're
yours.
You
own the dog.
Yeah.
I needed legal, or I needed therapy because the dog caused such trauma for the police officer. But it's really, it's a huge issue because now you're just saying that they have the right to enter the house whenever they want, and there's no source of, like, remediation
for the
victim.
A lot of people don't realize that, like, the Castle Doctrine, that started back in England. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just there because people are like, well, this is our right to our house.
Yeah.
It was so that you had to knock and announce yourself as, you know, part of the king, you know, you represent the king or whatever.
Yeah.
So that they didn't just think you were some guy breaking in and kill you. Like, it was supposed to be just as much for the guy at the door as it is for the guy. But now they're basically saying, well, you don't get any recourse now. If you kill the cop, you're going to jail for murder. You should have just let the guy break into your house.
Right. And Alito's ruling was basically on the justification that you can't, because he violated the Fourth Amendment, there, You have to separate the two. You can't lump them together.
We're not going to create two separate issues here that are extending the Fourth Amendment. You got to treat them as independent events.
It was a nuance that was missed by virtually every
it's
outlet.
Tough. I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong. I hadn't had a chance to go full autism on this like you, Greg, and review it. But they did hold still that there is, the door remains open for remediation.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not like, they have complete right to do so, right? I mean, so there is that nuance that's a level here. It's a shitty thing, right?
Absolutely.
Like that you know, the fact that they don't have a warrant in the first place,
right?
Right. That's no excuse, mm-mm, right? But I do see, you know, unfortunately, I think in an 8-0 opinion here, I do see where they're coming from.
It's legal. It's
right?
not moral
in terms of the split.
Yeah.
Right? So.
And it was unanimous. I mean, 8-0, and I understand. And you could tell Alito was apprehensive in the way he issued his,
Correct. And there were no additional, like, even concurring opinions with it, right? And Sotomayor she's been pretty good on the Fourth already, and, you know, on a few cases that have come forth. So, you know, I think this is one where there's, like, two or three levels deeper in deep legal crap that you got to kind of.
I wish they, though, had designated it like they did with Gore Bush, where this is never to be cited again. Or used as precedent when they, you know, with the Florida recount situation. But unfortunately, this is going to be used.
But so it exposes other issues, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so regardless of, you know, I'm actually reasonably okay with this decision in isolation, right?
Well, that's
because
you love police.
Of course, yeah. But in the big sense, yeah. Everybody thought that when I ran for Congress, too, right?
Well, that was part of your platform.
but you know, the that doesn't excuse the initial Fourth Amendment violation in any way. The fact that cops do have too much power in these types of things, that we have eroded away on the Castle Doctrine. All these things remain, you know, but we're not part of what's addressed here in this opinion. That's the trouble with, you know, most Supreme Court cases that we go through, right? I mean, they're going to pick a narrow part of what's going on and rule on that.
Because,
right?
To be fair, the people who cast these things as an argument, they have to do it in such a very nuanced, special way in order to actually win the case.
Or even get it to, to get it to the Supreme Court.
It's
exactly.
Like they have to make it super weird and absurdly complicated because that's just the only way they could win the argument.
Exactly.
Like, right. So, I mean, I can see it, right? Like, I mean, I don't think we want, you know, and I haven't thought through, like, all the counterexamples here, right, to be like, oh, you know, because you know somebody's First Amendment rights are violated over here, I'm no longer going to care about their Third Amendment rights or something like that, right?
Right, it's been waived.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
And then that's kind of, you know, that's really, I think, the spirit of why it's an 8-0 opinion in this case. It's like, these are two separate Fourth Amendment issues. You can't conflate one with the other.
Yeah, and they had also used a justification for, or they cited something different outside, I forget the Johnson? Glock Johnson or something like that.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
And it was outside a traditional print the Ninth Circuit did to create this.
Well, and I
create this sort of extra protection this source of remediation for the victim.
Yeah, and you know, this is another thing where, and again, I'm trying to find the silver lining in it to a degree. It's a bit of an extrajudicial decision from the Ninth Circuit in the first place
which
to essentially create law, right?
And that's
now the Supreme Court saying, no, you can't go doing that. And, you know, generally as libertarians, we like that. We, you know, we don't want, you know, the courts going off and being the legislative branch.
Yeah, you know, this is one of those times where if you look at it, like Jefferson Davis followed the Constitution to the letter of the law and Abraham Lincoln suspended it.
Here we go.
No, but I'm saying, if you look at it this way, he followed it to the letter of the law. Abraham Lincoln suspended all of it. And so that was a situation where, personally, I believe he did the moral thing. Lincoln was in the right, even though he was doing the illegal act. Jefferson Davis was acting completely legally and doing the immoral act.
Right. If you, in the Civil War,
if you're a dirty unionist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like we just lost all of our Georgia listeners.
Good. If it's Luke Bittner, less is more.
Yeah.
We'll just talk about the SEC later and then we'll
find
it. Yeah. The Ken Burns documentary on the Civil War is on Netflix.
Best documentary ever made, by the way.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, God. Have you not seen it?
I have not seen it.
No. So good.
It's amazing.
The FDR one is great. Ken Burns is great.
You'll hear
no,
on
Burns
podcast.
Is amazing.
That's the best documentary ever made.
I had this girl over and we watched the Civil War documentary.
Dude, she'd cry.
Yeah, dude, that song. I just got that song on my Spotify.
A Shoken what? Farewell. That's a panty dropper.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Dude, I got it
You're
on my...
just from memory.
It's like...
and that singing.
No, played dude. It's hey. Like... It's like... It's up there with, like, the guy from Titanic on the violin.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
hey,
it's...
I played that my senior year at concert for orchestra.
You play the cello?
I did, yeah.
Cello.
Cello. Elitist. You got a bass.
Elitist.
She got it.
Yep.
Were somebody, you in, somebody's on my level with references. I like this.
Were you in Color Guard?
No, God, no.
Just with a cello?
Just like, I already got the lesbian rumors, and now I'm getting
he doesn't
no,
know.
I was, in a, I was in a grunge band.
To be fair, he doesn't know.
That's actually more likely.
I'm just saying. There's
right, Nirvana Unplugged, they had a cello.
There's something actually, about cats.
And On Utero, guest cellist on two songs.
There's just this one girl with a big-ass cello walking out on the field.
Throwing it.
What's up, bro?
I'm just saying, there's something about cat that screams Color Guard.
No.
Our female listeners know what I'm talking about, because they were in Color Guard, too. That's why
she hasn't identified yet. Come on.
Yeah, I haven't. Excuse me. I haven't identified yet. No, I was in. I was an orc dork.
What yeah. is that?
Like, they have band geeks, choir queers, and then orc dork.
Does that mean you played like
what's an orchestra?
Like magic.
Dork. I'm like
yeah.
Lord
what?
Of the Rings.
Wow, that's like what I was going. Yeah.
I did
magic or whatever.
I played Magic the card game in summer school. Hmm. Yeah,
you had to go to summer school.
Yeah, algebra
what,
2.
Four. You had to go to extra classes.
Well, I got a D minus in it, and then I was like, I guess I'll save my GPA.
No.
So Ball State's really raised their requirements, is what you're saying.
I don't know how I got in.
Greg, you have no idea the levels, the things that have been revealed to me today.
A D minus in Algebra 2?
I was, it was exactly almost 5 years ago. Greg, I did get one to pass the
as
SAT.
Soon as they
I taught math, college
she was
math.
Like, I'm out.
Can you help me pass math 125? Side note, thank you.
I literally am a man.
Seriously, I failed algebra, the basic first level algebra class at IUPUI three times.
Yeah, but
times.
You're in radio.
I'm trying.
Yeah. Like, that's she goes, I just don't know that I'm qualified to be here. I go, what's your grade point average? And she's like, I'm almost to a D. I'm like, you're perfect. You're destined for radio.
A D?
My mom
crap.
And dad are asking, B plus.
Yeah, B plus.
Did you Photoshop your grades?
Haven't told them yet. No,
well, she's
going
to listen. Mom is
yeah.
woke.
Natalie.
She
Mom
hates
is woke.
The
no,
Muslims.
I told her that you have to have iTunes to listen, so she's like, well, I don't have iTunes.
Oh, I'll send her the
she has an iPhone 7, but doesn't think she has iTunes. I don't know.
Natalie is Kat and Chloe's biggest fan.
Oh, yeah.
Biggest. My parents said that they hope that if I ever get offered a job, like, out of, you know, sometime soon, they're like, you can drop out of college.
Yeah.
We don't have high expectations for you.
Right.
I did
your
that.
Job prospects are slim. Any job.
Hey, I'm telling you, I can get great grades in all my go. Other classes, but math.
Shall we revisit McDonald's?
Mine's like the exact opposite.
We told that story to
you. So you taught yeah. math?
No, I'm a math tutor at IPU.
No,
yeah, dude.
Please
math, math element, linear element, linear algebra.
Master's degree in math.
Here's the thing.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk. I got A pluses in all my math classes, and then I got like A's and A minuses in my other classes.
Yeah.
See, and here's the thing. I can't pass college if I don't pass math 125.
What is that?
Finite?
Yeah.
Is it finite?
She literally cannot get past. Like,
I really can't. I can't do it. I don't know why.
To be fair, for people... Any math people listening, like, there is a difference between, like, calculus, the kind of mind that's good at, like, calculus.
It's a different
versus kind of mind.
I have a female brain.
Huh?
Oh,
Einstein
I just accidentally...
The female brain.
It's
well,
smaller.
He may have failed it, but I'm not saying he didn't know it.
But no, he also
it really
doesn't
at
do
all.
It really,
like,
really
I just
well.
Need to calculate how much money I can have to buy a bottle. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, that's it.
Not right. 21, just kidding.
You're just getting a degree in domestic engineering.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Going to trap a guy and then ride off in the sunset.
A Mr. degree?
As long as they have a lot of money.
Right, I'm getting my Mrs. degree.
Yeah.
Right.
She's hanging around the engineering school.
Why are you around here? Because they didn't. I don't know.
Well, apparently if I'm going to this party, I'm going to get
head on married right away.
Hey.
Oh, wow. You're not going to have a lot of money. Sorry.
Shout out to Eric Lee. I know you're listening.
Not too many of them.
No money.
There's also the concept of the povertarians.
Ah, yes.
That's not a concept. That's the whole class of people.
Yes.
Well,
when I say concept, the reality.
As far as I used to.
One at a time, everybody. All right. Let's get back to the subject at hand. Have we read this Justice Alito quote?
Yeah, I mean that was the thing. His decision, you could tell he had some apprehension, because he understood that this is going forward. This just furthers the immunity that's being granted to law officers. Even though the press never, there is no room for nuance. So I get it. I don't like it. I feel like what's left to give them immunity for? They have free reign now, and now the prosecutors, judge, they're all. Where do you go to get
that,
justice?
That is actually, I mean, I was reading another article the other day, I forget what it was on, but I mean, that's where reform is probably even more needed, is in the prosecutor's office.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, that is a huge issue.
Prosecutor immunity.
Laying on the charges. And you know, I think it was an article on this. A guy's recently written a book. I forget if I might have seen it on you sharing it, but on, you know, the drug war. And, you know, incarceration. That's not really the main problem going on.
It's systemic across the board
on,
with aggressive offenses.
Exactly. And, you know, but, you know, I know people who've been in the prosecutor's office. And, you know,
it's a political office.
It's because they judge their success by how many convictions they get, and you're always going to get more convictions if you charge more crimes.
Can you imagine being able to walk in, throw everything at the wall, and see what sticks, and that counts towards your success record?
Well, you drop the ones you don't need eventually, right? And then you go win on the ones that you're going
to win.
They all want
to be mayor or whatever, governor or whatever. So they got to, They're like, that means, and it doesn't matter whether or not anything that did actually mattered for crime. They're tough on crime because look at all these prosecutions they've got.
Nobody put away more minor inconsumptions than me.
Right.
I stopped all alcohol.
How many people?
Right.
I always wonder: do people start out that way? I mean, do you start out thinking when you get into that, or just eventually you get?
I'm
to
sure
that
it's
point?
Ingrained in you through law school.
Who is that big of a douche?
You know, it's funny because
I'm going to put people away for minor consumption so I can be governor someday.
I don't think that because
I don't think that's what they're thinking though.
No, not in law school because in the Libertarian Party in Miami-Dade, we have a few different people that are in law school now and they are totally different. They are like all libertarian. But then to get more money, we had this one guy, he's like, I'm taking a job with the state. I'm like, how are you libertarian? You're taking a job with the state.
I'm going to change it.
I'm
going to
make. That was his first thing. And then he was like, I'm going to make more money if I take this job. So, I mean, it's just eventually I'm like, how do you start?
You sell out.
Being so libertarian and then get to the point where you are
put food on
Marco
Rubio
throwing the book at everybody else.
Yeah. No, and that's what happens over and over. You know, you look at people, you see it even in like the Black and Yellow movement. Like Chris Cantwell all of a sudden is writing for the American Conservative magazine.
He
wrote this huge essay about the deplorables for American Conservative.
Yeah, that's a good magazine though.
No, Pat Buchanan's like the main author now. It's terrible.
What's wrong with Pat?
He's a good writer.
He's all right.
I like Pat's work.
His articles aren't
he
good.
He is. He's paleoconservative, but...
Yeah, I mean, I don't agree with him on anything, but...
He's an excellent writer. They have all excellent writers. It's just they're not... Their conservatism's changed. Like,
it's the Jews!
They're grown-up alt-right.
Like, but you know what? Have you read... Let me just give you a quick recommendation. Pat Buchanan's... Churchill, Hitler, and the Unnecessary War is really good if you haven't read it.
Oh, yeah. He's a great writer. It's just that his worldview is different than mine, and I think he's wrong.
Goddamn, got us off the gold standard.
Well, he's soft on Hitler there. I think you would like it.
Well, that isn't good enough, to be honest. I don't like people that are Hitler sympathetic. I like pro-Hitler.
I didn't say sympathetic.
You know?
He's like, he's like Eva Braun, all right?
Yeah.
He's like...
Team Hitler.
Yeah.
You know, not Team Churchill, and I don't want to talk about FDR.
The allies.
I'd push that guy right off a cliff in his wheelchair.
Roll him.
Yeah.
I think we all would.
I only like people that don't have polio, okay?
That's no surprise.
Right?
You should like a lot of people then because it's the modern world. No one has polio
anymore.
But now they have autism because of the vaccines.
Yeah, that's
there we
true.
Go. Would you rather have a crippled leg or a crippled brain?
Full circle, man.
Right. That's a joke.
Hey, people with more brains get stuff done.
No, people with autism are much smarter than me. That's 100% true.
And they get more stuff done than the crippled people, so...
We should stop this conversation right now.
Physically, maybe, but...
We have kind
of
jumped the shark.
Gone deplorable.
Hold on, everybody. Hi. This is Chris Spangle. I'd like to personally apologize to everyone listening over the last 30 seconds, not only for my comments, but also the comments of Lisa. They do not reflect our true beliefs. They were said in jest... we revere and love all people, even those that are different, who are not normal. Okay, this is going terribly wrong. Let me go back. Listen, I apologize. Everyone's mics are off because, especially yours, Lisa, your mic is off. Your mic's off. I'm literally so.
This is a public service announcement
over there. All right, now. Everyone, you have to behave, Lisa.
Unless you're a dirty commie.
All right. Commies get murked, okay? They're going to hell.
We got a helicopter in the backyard right now.
Especially Grand Polio.
Well, okay. As James Neese once told me, communists are not moral agents, so therefore not people right? to be treated however you want.
Take that, Hoppa.
Yep. Throwing it out of a helicopter is like throwing a plane out of a helicopter. It's really no different.
All right. Should we move on from the provocation rule?
I mean, that's the thing is we had so much to cover, but it's how do you guys feel? I mean, I feel I'm outraged because now what are we going to do to combat this now?
If someone
breaks in my house, I'm supposed to say, oh, it might be a cop. I'm not going to defend myself.
Right.
Just in case it's a cop. But no, if I get cut across the neck... Well,
it's just a tool to use after the fact. Like, obviously, if somebody's got, they're not going to be like about ready to kill this guy who's breaking in their house in the middle of the night and be like, oh wait, it could be a cop. No, they're gonna shoot the guy and then they're gonna go to court and they're gonna get sued. Is what's gonna happen. It's like all the after.
But if they pull it out, it looks like they're gonna pull out a weapon. Like this guy pulled out a BB gun, and so that was the justification for him being able to shoot at the.
I believe he was holding the BB gun, shooting rats when they walked in.
Literally, it said varmints.
Wow,
that's how powerful.
They're trying to make a clearly, they couldn't do anything here. But I mean. Yeah, the problem. No, they couldn't do anything with the fact that he went without a warrant. Like, they're trying to obviously be very, very clear. Like, we're not talking about the fact that he was there illegally. We're talking about the fact that he defended himself, or he thought he was defending himself. And it's like, you know, even though he was there illegally, he didn't deserve to die or something. You know, I mean, that's the kind of thing that they're thinking.
Yeah.
The problem that is involved here is that, yeah, he shouldn't have been there in the first place because he didn't have the right to. So the guy should have been, like, countersuing and saying, well, you shouldn't be on my property. I'm suing you for breaking a Fourth Amendment violation while you sue me for shooting you with a BB gun.
Which they maintain he still... can or in the future because they did I believe if I remember
well, the damage
he did get $4 million in
he
damages.
Got 4.1 by the ninth but before the ninth overturned the appellate court before okay. it right yeah it would have been the appellate court right. prior to and so they but the court prior to only awarded like $1 in punitive damages because they said the cop had legal justification or suspicion because they had a criminal background.
That's absurd. Yeah. Like, yeah, reasonable suspicion is something that definitely needs to be reformed.
It needs to be clearly, you know, clearly defined. And
it's like in all of the things that the Supreme Court has ever done, like they've always been very kind of very clear about what the test is, right?
Right.
Like reasonable suspicion is just like, well, if it feels like there's something wrong.
But look at like now, so like sheriffs have, you know how they do license plate checks? Like cops can, anytime they're behind you, do a license plate check. But now sheriffs actually have software that's automated running, scanning everything that goes by.
Yeah.
What's the reasonable suspicion?
Yeah.
You're driving?
I mean, they're looking at it as like you're on a public road, you've got a public property because a license plate isn't technically
yours. That's suspicion for a crime, though?
No, but like they're just like, well, we're just looking up our own stuff. It's like, they already said you can't burn your draft card. Like when it comes to public property, right. they're going to be as Nazi as they can about that. Plus, this is also that they can make money. Like, highway traffic laws, like all this, this is all so that they can just make money for their departments.
But right, and so now there's one less avenue to get remediation if you've been wronged because of this ruling. And so the question is, what do you do to combat that since there's virtually, one, how often do you beat the government in a lawsuit?
Not often.
Right.
Right.
And so now there's one less avenue available to get remediation as a wronged party. Because it's like they're admitting the cop, you know, the Supreme Court is admitting that he should, you know, it was an illegal search. But that doesn't, I mean, so now it's, in hindsight, there's one, he committed an illegal search, but there's one less avenue to get justice.
Well, I think from this specific interpretation, if it's the cop was defending himself, quote, against somebody.
By just invading a property unannounced?
But he's arguing
that
the
guy had a gun. Does he cease becoming a cop? I think that's really the question, right? And again, we...
Yes.
We're in the world of libertarians, so, you know, right. we can say, oh, no one, you know, cops shouldn't exist, whatever. But... does he cease being a cop because he broke the Fourth Amendment by having, you know, coming
I would
in
I would argue
search.
You have to.
I'd say I would agree that
his presence there is an illegal presence, but does that automatically mean that he has no grounds to defend himself should he feel like his life is in danger?
Or do
in the capacity of being the police.
So regardless right. of the fact that he was there illegally, which is something that's separate that the guy could sue him on, saying, you know, you're suing me because you thought I was going to attack you. Well, I'm suing you because you shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Right.
Those are two different things that would have different
trials.
And
that's what the court
that was
right.
the nuance
so,
of the decision.
And that's not
And because
too
of that
bad.
Nuance, right? I think that's where I'm kind of like, well, this sucks, but I kind of agree, right?
See, I
and,
disagree. I think once you break the law, you're no longer protected by it.
That's stupid.
As an agent of the law.
Yeah, no, but that's stupid because then you shouldn't have protection. Like what? Because you sped. Oh well, you broke the law. Like
you don't have protection at that point. Then you have to pay a fine.
No, because there's degrees. Like right, so it's like there are degrees.
You have the Fifth Amendment.
Yeah, but it's just, you know, just because you break one law doesn't mean that you are immune from, like, natural protections that laws are supposed to provide.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even in a free, you know, in an anarchy world, you still have laws. And it's like, just because...
It's from God.
It's a continuation of adding police officers to a special class. And
That's true.
They have more rights.
Blue lives literally matter.
Very separate argument.
They are very... Yes. And that goes right. back to his prosecutor argument. I mean, like, you can't even... Right. Like, even if he tried to bring him to trial because he said... you were here illegally, they wouldn't even get him indicted. Like you can't even get cops indicted.
Darren Wilson, right?
That girl from Oklahoma just got acquitted, and it's like, if you see the video. Like,
was that on the Tulsa shooting?
Yeah. These people, they have so many legal protections. And
they're Iron Man.
It's absurd. Like, I'm not trying to say that cops have an easy job. But it's not like they're slaves of the state. Like you get it when you become a cop, you're the honorable part of it is that you're taking that responsibility and that danger upon yourself. You still are answerable to natural, you know, or to already existing rules.
With great powers come great responsibility, right?
And it's
you don't get to just shoot people. Because you said he was going for a gun, and there's there's no distinction. There's no distinction between degrees when it comes to police brutality cases, right? It's like the argument is that they are out there, they want to come home at night, and he's like, he thought he was going to get fired at, so he fired first. And like, I understand
it doesn't matter
that.
How he got there or whether he had the right to be there.
Like, I understand that argument. Like, you know, you should, but the thing is like, you know, you as a cop should, and this is more of this has to go to how they're trained, is like, you should have the wherewithal to make a distinction between killing someone who's charging at you and just stopping someone who's charging at you. And that's right. And that's just it. It's
like the dueling knives kid, the school cop.
Right, and like, what's his face? The one that kicked all this off in a couple years ago in Missouri. Yeah.
And Darren Wilson, you know.
Yeah, those are the that's the kind of thing where it's like, his life was in danger because a really, really big guy was charging at him. And that was his argument. But it's like,
but also his testimony is counted as fact.
That's true. It's that
no one saw it.
The burden of proof is never on them.
The immunity, the cop, what the cop said, it's like God talking to Moses
putting it
on his tablets.
There has to be a reform. A lot of this has to go with public opinion as well.
It's absolutely public opinion.
That's the only fight you have.
You should never
fight it in court. You should shame the shit out of the police.
There has to be an independent
prosecutor.
That
you lose that battle
in
public opinion is my point, right? Yeah. I mean,
unless you Photoshop a Klan
potentially
outfit on.
Jury trial, right? You might be able to get there at least.
But in that case, you're fighting to not go to jail for life, not get remediation or justice. You never get that.
There needs to be independent prosecutors in all these cases. Anytime a cop is brought before the court for any reason, it can't be the prosecutor's office that's doing it. It has to be some third party from out of state or something, out of county, somebody from somewhere else. Has to be the one who's doing these because there's just a reasonable conflict of interest.
Yeah. Huge.
It's just
the whole thing is stacked, and now that's what I hate is there's one less. They have one more protection because he shouldn't have been there, admittedly. And if it had been a private citizen and not a police officer, it would have been trespassing, and Menendez would have had the right to kill him.
Yeah.
But yet, because he has a badge, he has the right to kill Menendez.
Yeah, no, I
yeah, even though Menendez he was there still legally. Has to hold up to the same a similar test of feeling that his life is in danger in
Wouldn't
most
you?
States. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, probably. But
at
I
night,
mean,
if someone
you know,
came into your house,
generally yes, right. But I'm just saying there is still a similar standard applied the other way. Yes, mm-hmm. it leans and tilts far more to the cops, right? And no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and that's you know, in any trial, in any case. The judge, the jury, if there is a jury involved, right, whatever, who the parties involved are still going to try to figure out who they trust more when those testimonies come forward, right?
Yeah.
And you know, like it or not, homeless dude, right?
Pregnant
who has a BB gun shooting rats versus, well, I don't know, anyone who has a job, they're probably going to lose that battle of public opinion as to who to trust when there's competing stories.
Right, right. And I mean, that's the point, though, is justice is never... I just feel like everything's swung so... Like, I am of the mindset that of Alito's ruling, but the balance has tipped so far in the other direction that we need a counterbalance that says, well, the burden of proof is now on the police officer, and we're going to... I'm for assuming if the officer does it, it's guilt rather than innocence.
Yeah. Well, you're... Yeah, that's true.
If the police officer does it, it's the bird, you know, they are assumed guilty rather than innocent. That would counterbalance the way it is right now.
True. I think a lot of it has to do with conflicts of interest. I think having independent prosecutors would do a lot of help.
But the, like Wisconsin, it's the reality of doing such a thing.
Right. Wisconsin did something like this back, they pushed for a law that got passed shortly before the Missouri event, Michael Brown, whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like a guy, his son got shot in the head by a cop because the kid had been drinking.
His head shouldn't have been there.
He was handcuffed.
The bullet was headed that way.
The thing is he was handcuffed underneath. He's handcuffed underneath a streetlight. He's in front of his mom and his sister who had already arrived, and the cop thought that he reached for his gun, so he fired and killed him. Turns out the cop just was turning, and his gun got caught on the rearview mirror of his car. But this guy never got a day off work. He never got suspended at all. This cop was still on the force. He shot this kid in the middle, and everybody saw it. And he never spent. And then the guy though wrote this article. It was like talking about how he was this is a guy who like pushed for the reform. He's talking about how he looked through history of like Wisconsin police. Never once did a single case ever come before the state where the cop was found guilty. Not once. And the only time where something was like wishy-washy, the cop in question ended up actually retiring, like he resigned, and then he killed himself. So he probably did something wrong, but he didn't get any criminal charges against him. So it's like there's clearly here, and then Wisconsin passed like this independent prosecutor thing. But it's like there's clearly like there's a huge problem between who is enforcing these laws against police and who is like being charged by them, because if the prosecutor is the one who's enforcing them and charging them, I mean, he's cleared. Like, these are his
same
guys.
Team. They carry a badge themselves.
Yeah, it's like you guys are on the other side of the wall. We hang out and drink a beer after work. I mean, there's a conflict of interest there.
And, that's the police union will give you their endorsement when you launch your political career.
Yeah.
All right, final thoughts on this. Let's start. Got to move on.
I am for that if you are... If a police officer says stop, you're under arrest, you should have the right to challenge them to a duel, 10 steps, turn and fire. And if you kill them, then you walk away, no charges. But if they could kill you too, or they could arrest you. That's the only way to counterbalance.
I mean, I think the answer is people have to be very informed about their rights when they're out in public. You need to know, when you can turn down police
in your
searches
home.
In your home.
At night asleep.
But, I mean... Yeah, the responsibility for taking this stuff and being, I guess the responsibility for being, for those who need to be responsible are the cops. Like there needs to be a sea change in how public opinion looks at this. It's like it's not like people are saying we need cops to be able to get shot out with AK-47s. It's like there is clearly a class, they are clearly in a class above. They are protected from even in a normal person makes a mistake, accidentally kills somebody. Like in a normal case, normal case, if this guy had come onto this dude's property and then he fired and killed him, and he shot him and killed him, he may not get charged with murder because he thought he was defending himself, but he'd probably get charged with manslaughter.
Freedom demands
8 years.
Yeah, freedom demands that you take unpopular opinions, and it is an unpopular opinion to say that cops are not guaranteed to come home at the end of the day, and we are crafting policy. And now court rulings around the idea that every police officer is guaranteed life, even if it violates the rights of citizens. And
those they're designed to protect.
Yeah. And so my final word on this is just go back and listen to the Radley Balco interview that we did. Or it wasn't an interview. It was a speech that he gave about his great book, The Rise of the Warrior Cop.
Warrior Cop. Yep.
Yeah. And he gave a talk at IU, and we recorded it about a year or two ago. And it's really
great book,
timely.
Radley,
yeah.
If you haven't read it.
So Matt,
talk about a guy having an unpopular opinion for a long time.
Yep,
and now it's kind of trendy.
Radley Balco is somebody that you must follow. You must read. Go check him out.
He's from Indy too.
He's from Greenfield, Indiana.
Yep. So yeah, my final thought is, I agree that there's an issue here, right? However, enormous. I don't think this particular decision is as I'm okay with the decision, right? And so I don't think we should just get a win in terms of what the Supreme Court is saying that could create other precedent that we don't like just because we want to overturn what happened in the past in this particular event. It sucks, but so criminal justice reform, absolutely something we need, right? I definitely agree to duels,
legislative dueling rights.
You have to wear
collared shirts and fluffy arm shirts.
The higher accountability for those who have the higher privileges, I think, is absolutely something. And I think most people, right, if you start there from the framing of it, would agree, right? Like, okay, if you have certain protections and you're entrusted with the public trust, right, then when you violate that, you need to be held to a higher standard. And I think most people would get there if it's framed like that. The problem is we've got a culture where as soon as you bring, you know, cops versus the bad guys into the conversation, you know, it's a challenge. So, I mean, I think, you know,
it's
politically
been a race
tough
thing.
Conversation. It is absolutely a race thing.
And it's like, I think as time progresses, people realize that it's less of a race thing. But like, when you think about the cops versus the bad guys, I mean, people are immediately like talking about the cops versus that black druggie down the street. Like they're not thinking about it in the sense where, like, I mean, how many times have we read stories where cops break into the wrong room and they throw like a flash grenade in a baby's crib that's not even the right house? I mean, that stuff happens. None of those people got charged with anything.
Ever.
They didn't get their pay docked. They didn't get suspended. That baby just got to have a deformed face for the rest of its life now because it was living in the wrong house at the wrong moment.
Mm-hmm. Head shouldn't have been there.
Yeah. Like, that stuff happens, though.
Oh,
all the
they
time.
Shoot dogs. That decides it for me. You shoot dogs?
Yeah. That happens all the time.
Put you in the gallows.
But that's
send
the
back.
Thing is, people don't, they don't see that. They see the black guy, the druggie or something, and they're like, well, this is,
yeah,
they're the bad guys.
On?
Yeah. Right? That all goes back to Nixon, really.
Yeah.
Kat?
I agree. Public duels.
Yes.
Public
Let's start
hanging.
This movement.
Yeah. Tar and feather. Everything.
Yep. It works. It was effective then. It's effective now.
Exactly.
Aaron Burr.
I want to get barbaric again.
Yes.
Let's get weird.
That's
Make
girl.
America barbaric again.
Make America barbaric
hey,
again.
Hey, Aaron Burr shot Alexander Hamilton. That's a win-win.
Hey.
And there was a musical. So where's my musical?
Right. Damn
Listen,
right.
I'm all about 360 win-win.
Aaron Burr shot Alexander Hamilton and then he left the United States because he was going to be charged with treason.
All right, let's move on to our final subject in this episode. Let's talk about the Evergreen State protest.
I don't know how familiar everybody is with that.
Not at all.
I want to cut here because I want to see what if that experience is anything like Ball State.
I feel like I
heard as a college student here at Creighton, please don't be offended by that statement, but you just go around trolling the shit out of liberals at IUPUI.
That's
and
true. I do
drawing
do that.
Swastikas at Democracy Plaza.
I don't do that. Just for the record, I hate Nazis. Okay, Greg's
so
the,
brave.
Greg,
they were really
literally so brave.
Greg's the closet Nazi. All
you
right?
are like so brave.
That being said, I also hate commies a lot, so I find myself with a conflict of interest in many cases.
The enemy of the enemy is my friend.
So not really. Though,
explain this to us, Greg.
So at Evergreen State, which Oregon, it's in Oregon, which the funny part about this is they have a, or I'll just go ahead and read it, because they had a, they've been struggling like every other liberal arts or, you know, every other major university with snowflakes. There's a mass snowflake problem going on in the United States. Like it is.
Blizzard, if you will.
Exactly, a blizzard. And they're outraged by everything. Reason doesn't work. You can't have an honest dialogue with them. And they demand special accommodation for everything. And so at Evergreen State University, they had planned a day of absence. And so it's an ongoing tradition, campus tradition called the Day of Absence. It's based off a 1965 play by that name by Douglas Turner Ward. And the play is about an imaginary southern town in which all the black people disappear one day. The idea behind the play is that the societies with deeply racist ideas, in fact, are dependent upon those very people that they subjugate, much like, you know, the antebellum South, the Confederacy. And so student activists at Evergreen State College in Olympia, Washington, are demanding the resignation of a professor, Brett Weinstein, who refused to participate in an event this day of absence in which white students were asked to leave the university for the day. And he had always participated in it before.
But this is the first year where it had been asking white people to not show up on the college campus that day in order to celebrate or honor this really just attention-seeking behavior to create a national stir.
Right.
And so students were incensed because he wrote an email that ended up being sent around Twitter on May 25th, where Professor Weinstein and Rashida Love, who's the director of First People's Multicultural Advising Services. They have a Multicultural Advising Services department at the school. It's literally cuck you. And Weinstein, who's white, allegedly condemned the event and asked white people to leave, that it asked him to leave for the day. And he said asking us to leave is actually an act of oppression itself.
Right.
Which he's right. It's just that it isn't, it's like you said, freedom isn't popular. And so, as you can imagine, the snowflakes went and protested at the library there, chanting over and over and over, hey ho, ho ho, these racist teachers have got to go. And so they ended up taking over the entire third floor of Evergreen State College's library. And Tucker Carlson immediately had Professor Weinstein on, and he didn't give an inch. And the police even said that, though, he needed to probably stay home because his life was in danger.
Of course.
At the university, which, what are they going to do? Throw vegan carrots at you?
Marshmallow fluff, right?
Right. Like, I mean, unless it's those Antifa people, like, you get Richard Spencer, which is kind of embarrassing. But, you know, like, outside of that. But this is going on over and over. And it's outrageous, like asking white people to leave for the day at a university, and it's a public university.
I don't understand how you can demand equality by forcing inequality.
It's not about equality. It's not about equality. None of this stuff's about equality. It's about
remediation, retribution.
It's the recognition that you can use this as a form of power.
Well, a lot of what I feel like feminism is about, in the extreme examples, like feminism in its mass form, I'm all for. Like, I want Kat to be a part of this program, come on here and share ideas, be funny, talk. Like, and not because she's a woman, but because she's an intelligent person that has something to say.
And she hasn't revealed her gender.
Normal, regular feminism is just normal.
The second you're a woman, you're out of here.
Like, and that's the thing, is nobody, okay, unless you're a terrible person, everybody agrees with feminism, right? Like, who's sitting here like, women need to be in the kitchen, right? I mean, sure, there are some people. Just like there are some...
Greg?
Well...
Point of information.
Right. Just like there are some, you know, actual racist people who are terrible people. But it's like, just people are just making it so much more. And this is exactly why I took a step back from politics, being on a college campus, because...
Were you the only, like, non-liberal in your classes?
Oh, no, there's a pretty good amount of, like, conservative kids, but they just get beaten on. I mean, you're basically, like, the devil.
You once told me that I think it was last year, you said, I vote Republican, but I tell people I'm in the Libertarian Party so they will leave me alone.
Oh, for sure.
That has to be a phenomenon on college campuses, I would imagine.
Oh, no, it is.
Libertarian, I'm not a Republican, you know. Oh, I hate those Republicans, and they go vote. You know,
well, I'm telling you, the amount of kids from Ball State who have texted me or privately messaged me on Facebook who say, oh my gosh, I'm a huge fan of, like, the We Are Libertarian stuff. Like, that's super cool. Or kids who have, you know, like, I've in the past, like, I've shared posts, not necessarily like pro-Republican, but very anti-traditional, whatever, progressive.
Status quo.
Will private message me and text me separately saying, like, oh, this is really great. And it's because you can't say... You know, if you're like, I don't think it should matter if you're conservative or you're liberal. Like, I have some of my best friends are liberal, but I'm telling you, these people, like, they're doing this, like, protesting, and it's
taking
just,
over a university library and threatening physical harm to a professor.
People, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Like, to a normal person, whether or not you're conservative or liberal, just like, well, you know, you don't talk about religion and politics.
Exactly.
If you're polite, you know, that's,
but that's going away.
But that's how normal people are. But for a lot of people, which for a long time was me, at college campuses, is like, you're not normal. You wanna make sure everybody and their brother knows what your political opinions are. And you're
read the fountainhead, or I'm gonna beat the shit out of you.
Well, and here's the thing. This goes to a different point. I feel like my generation is just looking for a revolution, right? Because all throughout school, we've grown up learning about
cannot think of a revolution. Okay, the French Revolution, like
the French Revolution, all that kind of stuff.
The American Revolution.
The American Revolution. Well, I'm trying to think of like young kid.
The 60s.
Yeah, the Marxist
Cuban Revolution,
the South American Revolution, Che Guevara, Fidel Castro.
They're trying to look for like a movement, like an identity.
I'm pissed I was born 70 years later than marching at Selma.
You know, so many people that I know who. Like I follow on Instagram or whatever, they would post pictures at like the March for Women, like all that kind of stuff during the election year or whatever. And their captions are just, my grandma did this, my mom did this, and now I'm doing this. Or if you know Harry Potter, I've always wanted to be in Dumbledore's army. Like, and I'm like, okay, these people were standing up against actual horrible people. Yeah. And it's like these ideas that they're standing against, I think they're creating a fake revolution.
Right.
No, they're creating fake issues. Like that's fake issues, that's exactly. why people like that's why there's such a on a college campus you're so you know protected
cocooned.
You really mm-hmm. are. Like
this isn't what the world's like.
People don't have all these professors and all these administrators, and I think a lot of the problem is administrators
it's
more
leadership.
Than professors. Yeah. Professors get a bad rap. A lot of them are really bad, but it's administration that really pushes this over the limit.
And it's one school. It's the liberal arts college almost every time.
Yeah, it's they have this Tumblr perception of the world, right? It's like
so true.
It's like, you know, if you don't if you're impolite. Like, it used to just be if you're impolite, then you're just an asshole. And you just don't want to get hung out. No one wants to hang out with you. Now, if it's like, if you're impolite, then you're an oppressive autocrat.
You're
it's
a like, cis scumbag shitlord.
Yeah, it's like, it's being offensive to somebody's sensibilities is equivalent to physically harming them now. And at least in these people's minds.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
for sure.
normal people, they're like, just stop whining and go to class, you know? And that's why these things still make the news so much is because...
But it's increasingly happening
It's happening a lot, but at the same time, I think there's an honest response on the part of a lot of people that are just like, this is absurd. I think, especially since I see that from the left as well, it's not just the right that's like, you stupid liberal kids.
Yeah, the Atlantic is now like outright chastising these snowflakes.
Yeah, it's just like, there are plenty of these kids who just have never really experienced the real world at all.
They're so right. mad they were born white.
Yeah.
I would love...
Oh, for sure. They're mad that they're born at this time. Like, everybody, like, baby boomers hate millennials, right? Whatever. Then so many people I know,
boomers.
Right? And so many people I know on social media are like, proud millennial, hashtag proud millennial. And because they're so, you know what I mean? Like, because they feel so oppressed, they're trying to create fake issues for a fake revolution so they can say when their kids are sitting where we just got out of school, they can say, yeah, I marched in the women's march to...
It's
the reason you can say Z is because right. I
me.
Did a sit-in.
It's narcissism and vanity.
We just
worked up at work as a Snapchat filter, and so I was explaining to my boss Snapchat and what the filters are for, and really all I could explain, meanwhile, you can check out the We Are Libertarian Snapchat filter on our Snapchat, but like... Basically, it is just for you to signal to your friends that you are at a place that they should be jealous of, so mm-hmm. you can yeah. raise your social status, so you can be more popular, so you can show people where you're at and what you look like in this moment in time. There is no way around it. It is just total narcissism. That's why Snapchat is the most popular, one of the more popular. I mean, it's Instagram and Snapchat, right, Kat, for Gen Z, for you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Penguin Club.
Kat is probably Gen Z, but she's like right on the cusp of millennial, where I'm on like right on the cusp of millennial Gen X. Matt, you're Gen X.
Solid Gen X. Yeah,
yeah. and then she's on the Old. Other spectrum. Yeah.
But like when you say vanity, I think it's important to note this is just I think this is one of the ugly sides of like our hyper-connected world.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
don't get me wrong, I'm a computer science guy. I love how far we've advanced when it comes to communications and technology. I am a big fan of how connected everybody is. But this is sort of like the backside of it. This is mm-hmm. the ugly side where when you're connected as much as you are, you get you dig for yourself an echo chamber, and you are your only friends in real life are ones that already agree with you, and that's just normal. That's normal people.
Mass customization is what's doing it. Everybody is special.
Yeah,
and mm-hmm. all the algorithms are designed to give you specifically tailored customization, and that's what everyone in the millennial generation expects, and that becomes self-fulfilling.
And it's, but when your friends are agree with you, when all of your online interactions, which is where you spend a lot of time, mm-hmm. reaffirms what you already believe, you don't have to interact with anybody you don't necessarily agree with until you get to college, and mm-hmm. then you're like, these people exist,
and you don't really what know though before college if and, you're like who's political. Yeah, prior
and then to and then you start realizing that this that you maybe you should care about issues or something, and so it just starts and it's like that and so you just start caring and you're like, well, what do I got to care about? He called me a girl. I'm a Z. like hey, and what, the, I mean, you don't have any. You haven't lived a life yet. Like you haven't experienced anything to actually be oppressed by. So like your oppression is the pronouns that people use. Like
it's getting tacos at the university cafeteria.
You have to be oppressed. You have to have somebody oppressing you. Victimhood is now like the social metric.
It's Lexus.
It is. Victimhood is the biggest status symbol. The biggest victim is the most important person in your life. And if you're the biggest victim, then you have the most important story to tell. But the thing is, like, none of you are victims. Like, people in the Sudan are victims.
LeBron
like,
James, this like, week, yeah. someone wrote a racial slur on his gated community home in California, and he acts like he got sprayed with a fire hose.
It was discovered by his property manager, and he just talked about how hard it was to be black in America. Well, it is hard to be black in America, but not for LeBron
not
James. For,
not in
LeBron
Bel Air James, in a gated yeah, right. community with Uncle Phil it's like, and Will Smith.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of my friends, okay, so I'm going to be a junior in college. A lot of my friends who have just graduated and this is like their second or first year, they're done posting this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They're done sharing it. Not necessarily all the way, but it's
they're still anti-Trump,
less.
But they
they're
don't
still
do
anti-Trump,
this stuff.
But it's less and less. Yeah. And I think honestly, like all of the financial kind of stuff like that they would always post about, like, oh, we need free college
universal
tuition.
Healthcare, yeah.
I'm telling you, the minute they get into the real world and start paying real taxes, it's just hilarious that you see less and less. You start
I'm
to
a fiscal
see
conservative.
All of a sudden.
As your responsibilities grow, you start to have a different perception of the world. And it's like mm-hmm. a lot of this just has to do with you just have too much free time.
But
like you're probably not doing as well in classes as you should.
Yeah,
be.
And
yeah,
this
they
is
always
all
have
just,
C's.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they smell like patchouli.
Like, that's
oil.
Why I said the other day they had the March for Science, the quote March for Science, which is actually the March Against Trump. But, like, I was one, I said,
oh my
I
God,
wanted,
is that real?
It was real, yeah.
Yeah. I asked, oh like, how many people does March for Science probably were, like, liberal arts or social work majors? Like,
are you
how many
of my,
my okay, so my neighbors went, right? Huh? My neighbors went, but high tech, right? So,
Elon Musk's
a,
like
a chemical engineer at Lilly yeah. and okay. wife in IT, right? So they are scientists, right? Mm-hmm. So they do have a sense of like Trump. They're both also immigrants, right? And so there's a sense of like
that's
not,
fair.
Not cool on this Trump thing. So like I get it there, right?
That's fair. But I mean, let's be honest. Yeah. Like these people who are like professional protesters did not major in mathematics or
yeah.
physics or something,
or engineering.
Right?
No,
you know they were they are. Their coursework has just been nothing but like they probably took a class on the history of protest in America. Like,
right.
I mean, that's probably
I'm a women's
a required
studies major
course.
With a minor in sociology.
Women in gender studies.
I don't know.
Excuse me.
Uh-uh.
WGS.
Sorry, not doing it.
Nope.
This is America.
Right. Yeah.
In this America, we have two genders. We have the right one, and we have the girl one.
Larry Daniels, American Patriot, just showed back up.
Listen, it's not a matter of not respecting people. It's just that women and men are like, well, it's not Adam and Eve. It's not Adam and Steve.
Right.
That's bulletproof logic, really.
Right.
Well, and here's fun thing. So after
this better
fun,
be fun.
Fun fact. Well, it's just a little
it's quite the build up.
Little whatever. So
better be
this
good.
Past okay, I'm trying. So this past year, election year, right?
All right, it's going somewhere.
It's going somewhere. The night of election night, whatever. I was like
the night they have the election.
Right, right.
A dark and
you guys
night.
Are making me nervous right now.
I
can't tell
God.
The story.
8,000 people are sitting on.
Let
the
her tell the damn
seat.
Story.
God, no. But yeah, night of election. Trump won. Everybody on Facebook is. My mind is shaking. My body
sleep.
Is numb. I'm gonna get purged. This is it. And I'm just
going
like,
to get purged.
No, so many of my friends were like, Mike Pence is gonna do electric shock therapy on me. I'm not going to be gay anymore. Yeah. Like, whatever. And then...
I'm not going to be gay anymore. They're going
to... They're going to take away my gaydom. No.
So it works.
So it works, right? No. But,
what you're saying is... completely proportional to the how electric you are.
Right, yeah. Right. But,
this is going to need double amps.
But so one of my roommates is a social work major, and the next day after I go to class, God. Nothing. I come back to class. I'm just literally on Club Penguin, whatever, and whatever.
Checking my likes,
whatever.
She doesn't like likes. She likes comments.
Comments.
Remember,
I
boys.
Like the conversation. Come on, guys.
Engagement.
Do they dance engagement. Like Happy Feet?
What? In the penguins? Oh, of course.
Oh, do they?
And my roommate
comes in. The penguins you
in.
Talk to your other friend, your roommate, to between penguin interaction
right,
on the internet.
Is this just like Pokemon or Pikmin or whatever that, where you just had like the avatars?
I thought there was like a really Sims. Good story coming up.
Oh, yeah. I interrupted. That's my bad. That's my bad.
I don't remember if we're there or not.
Yeah,
and my roommate comes back and I'm like, oh, how was your day? And she was like, and she's not political, remember? And she's like, God, today was just horrible. I was like, why? What happened? And she was like, my professor literally just started bawling today in class.
This and is I was like, yes. Do you remember that you could go get a hug like in Fountain Square?
I swear
at
to God,
coffee
they
shops?
Were having free, like, professors were like having open office hours. Like, they were canceling classes and letting
and this
students
is a ball
come.
State.
I yeah. swear.
I don't get this.
They were like, professors
I'm, am
were
I just
literally
too old
crying.
At this point?
I don't,
like,
I don't
like,
recognize
no,
I don't, your generation.
You're intelligent.
Get any of this.
No,
right?
That's,
but like,
that's,
I can't even what
no,
the hell fathom
my favorite,
that this shit goes
my
on.
Favorite story about this is I think it was at Columbia. After I don't remember what speaker came in, but the school allowed us a counter group to it was some conservative speaker, but like
it's probably Charles Murray.
Yeah, I don't think it was Charles. This is before Charles Murray did his circuit. But they swear to God, they reserved a room so that it was filled with puppy videos and bubbles and toys,
oh, yeah,
and
therapy.
Cookies and stuff, so that all of the people who were so offended
okay, so,
by all this could come. And it's like, you're literally, like, that's preschool.
My
like,
daughter,
that's how old you are.
My
that's
daughter
preschool.
Is in third grade. My oldest daughter's in third grade, okay? She, this year, in the fall, like within 2 months, her teacher had a miscarriage, okay? And one of her classmates had her dad die in a fiery car crash. And none of this crap yeah. happens of like oh
right
I mean like seriously
but
well,
somebody, those aren't nearly
so,
as bad
somebody,
as Donald Trump becoming president
but,
right.
But somebody debates whether or not abortion is right or wrong.
Oh
you
boy
know, we
you
gotta,
went
we,
there
yeah
oh,
like
God.
I mean that's what these things are. It's like, it's not even like, okay, you have one speaker who comes in who you disagree with and you have like a counter event. I could see having like,
but it's not a counter event, it's oppression, or they go Soviet Union like
no
blockade.
Right, like I can understand like you have a group of people who go to a guy who's giving a speech and you set up a table and say, you know, we're going to interact with the people and have a discussion about this in the lobby or something. We're you
that's
know,
our generation.
You're
not,
yeah,
the phone
you're not stopping
us.
People from seeing it. You're just, you know, you're just making a counterpoint. That's one thing. But there's the case where all of these things are also happening. All of these shout outs are happening when it's literally just two people debating an issue. You have both yeah. sides present. And because the side that they don't like is present, they say, the event should be canceled.
That's
and they,
hate speech.
And they start throwing bottles and stuff.
Well, I'm like, telling you, I don't like Hillary Clinton. I didn't vote for her.
That's not true. You went for as her for Halloween.
I did. Yeah, I don't like Hillary Clinton.
You're with
sorry.
Her, literally.
I went as Hillary Clinton for Halloween, but that was a different story. But yeah, I don't really like her. Didn't vote for her. But if she came to speak at Ball State, I would go. Like, that'd be cool.
You would you really?
I mean? Yeah. Why not?
I
would go.
What do you think she'd
it.
Say?
One
James
of the,
Comey sucks.
I mean, that's
so one of the things that we did in Yale was whenever a speaker would come that we didn't like, or we would take and make fake programs. We would make fake programs with all of the points that we would want to tell people. You know, this person committed this many wars and did this many bombs or something. Like, I think Michelle Obama came to speak at a school in Kentucky, and I went down and helped out. And, you know, we started talking about all of the things that Barack Obama did that, you know, that the left doesn't like. But it was obviously the left was the only people there who were going to, and we just passed them out. And we weren't disruptive. And, you know, that kind of stuff has a better effect on the people in line than having a bunch of people in Mohawks over in the corner shouting like a war dance and trying to get the person to not speak on campus.
At Middlebury College, they're, you know, literally chasing Charles Murray and Patty Stanger, one of their own liberal professors, out of the building, and they grab her neck, and she has to wear a neck brace for 2 weeks. Their own professor, not even Charles Murray.
I mean, that's outrageous.
This is how you make the
news. They should have got a cop to do it.
But they're anti-violence. Anti-fascism.
So why do they keep doing it? They probably keep doing it because, one, this is the only way to make the news when you're doing this kind of stuff. You know, what's the point if you can't get some shares out of it?
But you look so
ridiculous.
No, that's
a great point. I was listening to a podcast. Dan Carlin is catching up on back episodes because I finally discovered. I'm like, this is amazing.
A different world now.
Right? But like, he was making the point in one of his episodes from last year on the protest movement, right? And it's unfortunately in the way media is constructed, the way, you know, not just, you know, social media and stuff, but the old media, right? The way to get ratings and get advertising dollars coming is you got to have the drama and the hype, right? So what's the likelihood of CNN or MSNBC or Fox News or whatever? We're going to go live to this peaceful protest.
Yeah. To right? this debate.
It's boring. It's right. And so
when
you got rioters and looting and, you know, crazy
white
stuff
class
happening,
kids
right? like
blockading
then,
diversity of opinion.
Right, that's going to bring in the ratings. So then if you're trying to organize a protest, what's your incentive to get coverage?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And it's like
as fucked up and
crazy
as you can.
Protests are mostly for just to get attention. Like,
but
you don't do a protest to convince people. No.
What was the last conservative protest?
I mean,
the March for Life, probably at DC, which is consistently one of the biggest protests in the country.
And is that conservative to think that life's good?
Yes, nowadays.
I mean,
but that's what I mean. Like, that's
defined pro
hard reaction. Reaction.
I mean, it was
right.
a large group of people who were opposing policy,
which I agree with. Right, I think that counts. You
know? Give out an address and say that this person
but
hates
again,
homeschooling.
The point is, to your point, though, it's consistently like the largest protest gathering event of the year. Every year, gets very little press coverage.
It does
because it's very well behaved.
It is behaved. Right. Yeah.
Well, they're supporting life.
Yeah.
So
we're gonna have the march for anti-life. No one showed up, and everyone's surprised.
That's just marketing 101. You have pro-choice. You have pro-life.
So that's what we're libertarians to do. We should have an anti-life march, and then no one showed.
You have pro-choice, anti-choice. You have pro-choice, pro-life.
I mean,
they're both for something.
So Kat goes to a Midwestern school, moderate, middle-sized, you know, it's an average, your average college. I mean, so
their basketball is D1.
University, yeah.
Well,
it's a good-sized university.
Yeah, but you wouldn't expect that, like, you'd think that this would go on at, you know, City
Stanford,
of New York
whatever.
Or
NYU,
Berkeley,
Berkeley.
Yeah. But this is Ball State, and, you know, somebody that I work with, she was a safe space counselor.
No.
At Ball State.
Oh, God.
You know who I'm talking about.
She was not.
She was.
Hey, I'm telling you, it's ridiculous. Like, the amount of safe spaces and, you know, like, have I taken advantage of it to get out of homework? Yes. But
have you really?
Different time.
I would. I mean, I'm proud of
sure.
you.
Hey.
You should wear your GoPro and record it all next time.
That's what you
time.
Should
okay.
do.
Well, here's the thing.
Abuse these things.
No.
Yeah. Like, make them the jokes that they are.
Well, some days, I'm not even kidding, like, some days I'm tired. I didn't complete all my homework, whatever. And then
hence the change of major and
the
D minus in
right,
algebra
right,
two.
Right. And I come back to class. My professor's like, "What's going on?" And I'm like, "It's just been it's been a rough week." And I just get taken.
I
to
can't
safe
talk
space.
About it. Safe space.
We
I can't talk
we
about
backed
it.
Out
and
of the Paris Climate Treaty.
No, but
yeah. I can't handle
I
it.
I literally that got all my homework excused, and I'm not even kidding.
Shut up.
See, that's,
I'm serious.
See, that's
they
why
wrote the professor on your behalf.
No, see,
she's having a tough time.
Like
Trump.
Yeah, you talk to.
You know?
It's in
you
the syllabus.
Just need a slip,
you have
right?
to talk.
Just like, oh, you do.
Yeah, so you talk to. It's like in Ball State's syllabus. There's like a diversity.
Okay.
Their student handbook.
No. Okay, so
not the syllabus you get handed at
no,
the beginning
no.
of each
so
semester.
Through student government, they passed. I'm in.
Oh my God.
I'm not even kidding. So listen to this. So through at Ball
I'm
State
so
University,
fucking triggered.
Let me too. Dude.
I'm about to helicopter Muncie.
In student government, we passed. I didn't do it, but they passed the legislation, whatever, saying we had a diversity statement that has to be included in every single syllabus. And the diversity statement is basically saying common sense. Like I am the professor, and there will be no discrimination in this class. Well, yeah, like, obviously. Like, if there's discrimination here, why are you, like, that's kind of a problem. But, yeah, like, all
even
that
in finite? No, I'm just kidding. So
that's what's good about science class.
I don't even
want
to talk about the
Asian
problem.
Yeah.
It's really
right.
hard to
but
be.
We just lost our 500 to one of them.
You mean Taco Shit Suzuki, as
yeah,
my dad called
I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that you can go to a safe space and get your homework
basically get, like, a doctor's excuse.
Yeah, I'm not even kidding.
And I'm sure they can't ask you like anything about it, right?
You know, just that's
like,
and these people aren't doctors. That's bullshit for, you know what? I work my ass off in school. Like, I work my ass off to have awesome honestly, grades, Creighton, and these people are just getting shit Creighton, excused.
But, right. And no offense to, you know, people who've maybe used this, played this card.
But she did it right, with the intention to exploit, which I support.
Like, yeah.
How much are they going to get out of the class then, right?
I failed the class.
But what about employers? Right?
No, that's the expectation.
But like,
what about the thing on the
employers don't look at grades. But what about, most employers.
Look at all these initiatives.
They look at one at a time.
They look at GPA, they look at the courses you took, and they look at your experience. Right, but
Matt,
my point is, no, that was, my point is that what about those people on the margin? What about those ones that are passing the class and making it further into a degree program that they maybe kind of like, and they're getting all of this?
No, I agree. It's silly.
It's like, it's absurd. Like you don't belong in school.
Can you get a waiver on the final? That would be a little crazy.
You can get like stuff moved, and I'm not even. I've
rescheduled, not
rescheduled,
just moved.
Rescheduled. Yeah. And I'm not even kidding. And granted, I used this, and I did fail the class, and that's what made me change
what
my
class
major.
Was it?
It was a journalism 103 class, and that's why I changed.
I remember,
it was a horrible class, and I didn't want to go. It was so boring. So
I remember in Columbia, they had a girl who, I want to say it was Trump getting elected, but it may have been something before that. But they said that they were so upset and so hurt by the election of some, whatever it was, that they needed the final moved. And the professor's like, no. And she like wrote a big old article, and it became a big old deal on campus because
my
she was
professor
so
is
triggered.
Hitler.
Yeah, and it's like the professor said, no, you're not moving the final. And it's like, it's absurd. Like these.
But that's the thing is that what do you do to counterbalance that? Because clearly this is a real thing. This thing has legs, and there isn't a real easy way to fix it.
It has legs, I would say. But again, I in my experience, there is a big push of people on campus that I experience. They're like, this is absurd. And
a silent majority.
Yeah, it's. I think that if it ever gets to the point, I think it gets as bad as college in general is getting bad. Like when college is getting to the point where, you know, because everybody's got to go to college, you got to spend your 2 years, realize you don't want to go to college, you need to become an electrician or something, like you learn a trade instead, like all of
intern
that stuff,
on a podcast,
the over intensity of college, which has a lot to do with federal funding and just like this kind of work, like
the federal educational industrial complex.
I believe it's in line with that, I think. And you know, now they're trying to do like free in New York, they're doing free public for like community colleges and stuff,
2 years,
and it's like, as you get all of these people come in, it gets to a point where, I mean, it's going to get more absurd until the college bubble bursts. Like when the college bubble pops,
it can.
Then it will.
Can you imagine what would happen? I mean, if you didn't federally guarantee student loans,
you're too snowflake to fail. Okay.
No, but I'm saying that's one of those. It is too big to fail because education's our national religion. Like, we don't have Catholicism or whatever. Right. We have higher education.
Yeah, right? I mean, you have
it's
to
the
be
panacea.
An informed citizen to be voting in a democracy.
And here's the thing. I just made a point. I did not remember. Oh. Embarrassing. Oh, yeah.
Hope it's another story.
Hey, I'm here for one reason and one reason only. My stories. No, but that's the thing
feels.
Is...
Only for herself.
Only
typical
for
Gen Zer.
Yeah. No,
in
but...
In my younger, more formidable years.
That's the thing. Like, this summer I'm doing two internships, one here and one at a radio station. I've learned more, and Ball State is a great school, right?
Oh, renowned broadcasting school.
I kid you not. I have learned more with my two internships than I have ever in a classroom sitting down.
She's been doing them for a week and a half.
Right.
That'll be a common story through your life.
It was for me at a radio station. Basically, I am Kat's professor.
I mean, John Dewey, you learn by doing, you know, like, right. That's the foundation of like apprenticeship in most non-liberal arts trade.
Right. And those who can't
teach.
And those who can't teach gym.
Is that a real thing? That.
We gotta start wrapping up this episode.
You guys are so old.
I know. Enough of old man bitching about the college kids these days.
But I mean, what do you do to counter? Because it won't fizzle out.
What do you do? Like, okay, we spent all this time discussing how do you.
They're
fix
going
it.
To grow up.
What happens after that? No, that's true. But I think if Trump has done anything, he has shown that the way to defeat these kinds of things is to just play their game. And you know, and you, it's like he, you know, like you take Trump and you tell him you're racist against Mexicans, and he posts a picture of with a taco bowl.
I eat these all the time.
Like those. But the thing is like he takes something what a normal person
would have been like, oh, I need to do damage control, and he just kicks it into fifth gear, and it becomes a joke, and it becomes nothing after that.
The press looks absurd. Like
that's yeah, he makes them look fake news. They tried to say he won because of fake news. Now he is the one dictating what is and isn't fake news. Like he is that's the trick. So like, what do you have to do to stop this? I think you have to be as absurd as them. It back in their faces.
But now they're violent, though. It's different, though. Because
then be violent they're, back. They don't
they're
want
grabbing the professors
anyway.
And twisting their necks, and those are the liberal professors.
Well, did you see the bike chain? The professor that walked
him in the head.
Guy like, hit him in the head with a bike chain.
Yeah, he was Tucker Carlson grilled the shit out of him and said, what do you mean he's presumed innocent? Look at that video. Are you retarded? To the guy's attorney.
the what's-his-face, the pipe guy or whatever?
But I mean, this is real violence for not being a part of the fascist left.
No, but the thing is like this thing isn't as big as like the Berkeley protest, right? So these kinds of things, you could have an event like this where you have a bunch of people who are on the other side of the spectrum make a big show about something that's a non-issue, and they can make it be absurd. And it's like, once it becomes a joke, it's like,
but
it's
you
one
get
of Saul
toxically
Lynn,
branded I, like Milo or like Charles Murray, who is really not controversial at all. He's an old professor.
Exactly.
He's an but incredibly saying, intelligent man.
Yes, but yeah. what I'm trying to say is that right now, it's a tool, and it's going to keep getting used as long as it's a tool. But once you make it a joke, it has no teeth anymore.
Yeah.
And the only way you get there is by throwing it back in their faces. You're not going to get there by making them martyrs of their issues and trying to bring the law down on them and say you can't have protests about this or something. No, you make it a joke. You make it a bit. You make it be like Bugs Bunny playing with the dressing as the opera girl. Like, when you do that... It's
public apologies for anyone on the left on college campuses.
Yeah.
Just go around and apologize.
It's like, we need, if you're going to do safe spaces, we're going to have safe spaces too. Like, we're going to have safe spaces where we drink Budweiser and we
a safe
we
space talk, buddy
and we,
system?
And we walk. Yeah. Like, we're going to, that's, but that's really the only way because the left
they'll
doesn't
more
like, the left doesn't like when they're fake. Outrage is pointed out as being just a joke.
Yeah.
When they're the butt of the joke, they hate it.
Well, yeah, because they're used to that Saul Alinsky tactic of belittling and doing,
like,
mocking and absurd.
I mean,
that
is one of Saul Alinsky's tactics. So he's it right back at him. Just make it be a joke.
They are going to get mad. I mean, they're hitting people.
So what?
What
bring it
do?
On.
Wait till you fully trigger the snowflakes and the blizzard comes.
Have you get a blizzard.
Have you seen the video of the kid who went to go take...
A shaking, literally shaking
there's a
blizzard.
Kid, there's a guy hold on... It's one of the preacher guys, and he's like, Trump, and then he's like, the Bible, and one of these kids comes by, and he's like, doesn't like it, and he tries to take the guy's sign away.
Yep.
Well, this other guy who was there, he's like, no, and he grabs the kid and throws him down, and the kid gets up, and he just starts having a flip out. He's like, ah! And he tries to fight him and stuff. And the guy's way bigger than him. And he
delete
just keeps,
this.
This is delete this.
He just Logan keeps throwing Park. Away. He's like, this is free speech. I can say what I want. He can say what he wants. You can't touch me. He's like, what you're saying is offensive. Like, you better get out of here. And like, he keeps going after the guy. Just keeps throwing him away. And I'm like,
but that's what I mean.
That's
we're saying
beautiful.
Result to physical violence in order to settle these things.
But it's like. It's you don't have to actually go out and try and start a fight or something. That's not
no, they're
I'm
doing
saying.
The provocation.
They do the provocation. Bring it on, yo.
Cat, what about these fidget cubes?
Fidget spinners. We just got some.
Oh.
I mean, what are they? What's up with the kids in these fidget cubes?
It's autism.
Yeah. No, I'm a fan of the fidget cube because it's small, fits in the palm of your hand.
Yeah.
You can. It's got little switches. It keeps me stimulated. It's great. Fidget spinner, don't like it because I have to, look at it to play with it, and I feel like it's not serving a purpose.
Right,
and it does. None of them do.
And it actively, but see, with the cube, at least I can hold in my hand, and I can, you know, actively.
So it's like the ball, the stress balls,
word balls.
Like the
spinner just looks like I'm just being an idiot.
She's got some thinking putt.
I remember
right
when
now.
I was in elementary school, the fad was yo-yos.
It's an autism
cradle.
Right. All right. So final thoughts for this episode. I want to start with Kat. You're welcome to self-promote and give your final thoughts on this episode. But first, I want to ask you, how has your first experience on a podcast with Creighton been?
Well,
what does that mean?
I'm really triggered. No,
you're just very intense. You're very passionate.
No, it's a great, great.
I hate commies.
No, it's a great conversation.
Your biceps have been peaking the whole time, and it's really triggering.
There's a vein in the forehead that I'm seeing.
Oh.
Yeah. No, but great conversation.
Because all that coke.
all that code. It's nice to be around people who are mentally stimulating because, like I said, I took a step back from politics on a college campus because it was so absurd.
You literally lie about your political affiliation.
Do you have a
to
Yale
not
chapter?
Get attacked.
Is there a Yale chapter at Ball State? Young Americans for Liberty?
No.
You better start one.
Wonder who their Mid-Atlantic director used to be that should have formed one there.
I had one there.
But no, it's been good. And honestly, like I said, I lied about my political affiliation, but now pretty sold on the Libertarian Party. Also, I'm a female. Boom. Oh. Just did. Oh, yeah, just revealed my gender.
You owe me $50.
I forgot that was coming.
Wow. You owe me 50 Bitcoin.
Gotcha,
huge
guys.
Announcement.
Woo, big announcement. I don't know if you could tell.
Damn
but,
it.
All right, right, Creighton, final thoughts?
I hate commies.
Thank God they're not people.
Gregory?
I don't know. I say in the absence of going the Creighton route and belittling the shit out of the fascist left who's going around assaulting their own professors, just get yourself a shield and a stick.
Hey, they're
just start beating them.
What's the one rule about bullies? They're only bullies because you don't bully back. The minute you push back, they count. I mean, that's how they are. They're all a bunch of bullies. If they're going to try and punch me, I'm going to kick the shit out of them. That's how it works.
But you don't understand, your existence is oppression.
Hey, I believe in the NAP. The NAP doesn't say I got to take a punch. The NAP says you're going to punch me, I'm going to kick your ass.
It
does
has no guidelines on retaliation severity. You can nuke them.
Swear to God, you try and punch me in the face, I'm ripping your ears off.
McNuke.
I'm going to be like Mr. White from Reservoir Dogs.
You get drunk.
Or Mr. Blonde.
You get drunk and shit talk me on Facebook, I'm going to call you a cunt on a podcast. I go nuclear. I finished that podcast and I messaged Johnny. I was like,
"Uh-oh.
Did I really call him a cunt?" And he goes, "Yeah, you were off, bro. You were hardcore."
I love it that everyone's like, "Oh, no, but he's such a nice guy." And it's like, "It doesn't matter."
No.
It doesn't matter. You've drawn your line in the sand.
Yep.
Stick to it.
Yeah.
Unless you're Obama.
Yeah. So, I mean, the thing I come to on this that you know, gets me thinking, I want to do more reading and contemplating, right, is I don't get Gen Z yet at all, right? No. Like, you know, I'm older, right?
Club
so,
Penguin.
But, you know, there is a cycle. I believe in these cycles of generation theory, Strauss, Howe, you know, and things like that. So.
Pendulum. There's a book called Pendulum. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah that's, right. That's so, really popular. You
it's
know,
like
I think you think about how these cohorts are going to evolve over time and, you know, how that shapes up to events and the political change that we know always happens on these cycles as well, right? I think that's the place, you know, for me that I want to go back and contemplate and think, like, where the hell, what does this all mean? Like, what's that going to mean, what the world's going to look like in 20, 30, 40 years, right?
And, so, like, people moderate, right?
Yeah.
But it's not that who I'm
but
worried about.
Themes.
I'm worried about their kids who are
right.
wild leftists.
There's
in
themes, right? I mean, certainly, the way, you know, the silent generation, the boomer generation grew up and them having kids, the Gen Xers like myself, the millennials, right? That there is an impact of all this and, you know, how technology comes into play and all that, right? So, I mean.
Kids of what, the 90s people?
Are these the 90s people's kids?
They're like Gen X kids. Kids of the Gen
X. The oldest
Xers.
Millennials are the. The children are the old, like the oldest millennials are the oldest Gen Z.
Is it like 90? Because I'm 96, and I think I'm like right on the cusp.
And so 1980s millennial,
81, yeah.
So it'd have been the
really
the high school
that
people
old?
That were sliding it in high school.
Fuck you,
shit, yeah.
Their kids.
81. I was born 90, and I'm
so
still
the youngest
part of the same
Gen
generation.
Y or Gen X.
Yeah,
the
I
youngest
mean,
Gen X.
15 to 25 years is going to be the span of each of the generations.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Probably even closer to like 18 plus.
And millennial isn't the technical. Like specification, right?
No, Strauss Howe have
they
gone
use that?
With millennial, yeah.
It's millennial,
yeah. And they're using Homeland Generation for Z at the moment.
Oh,
why?
They're growing up in the world of, you know,
Homeland Security.
Homeland Security.
Homeland
Security. Yeah. There was like a survey they put out on
those towers.
Really? Z or X?
You?
Yeah.
You're Z.
I don't know anything.
They should just be the safe space.
Yeah. What would be the cutoff? Probably like I would say if you're born, I'd say if you were like if you're in like. High school right now, I'd say you're Gen Z.
I think in my past, I have a former mistake that was 20, and she was a millennial.
She was a millennial?
She was a millennial.
I heard
so
someone drop the term the millennium generation for people born 2000 and after.
Millennium, right?
I was in 96. But
high right. five.
Yeah.
I don't know what I am, but I hate myself, so.
Well, you're a
I think those lines are still, you know, it takes a while, I think.
Why don't we just call it the Willennium generation, because that album was dope.
Moving
Lisa?
on.
I just recently found out that I'm not a millennium. I was really, really disappointed.
Really?
Like, I was like listening to the podcast. I'm like, yay, I'm a millennium. And then I realized that I'm not. Uh-oh.
May I ask what year you were born?
No. I met her. Okay. She had her kid at 13. Older. I met them once at dinner.
Right. Yeah. Write it down.
Nine.
I met my kid at nine.
No.
Right. Start with a 7 or an 8.
No, I don't do that. But anyway, and I also learned that if I look like him, profile. I would want to fight people too. So I understand, you know.
Well,
I'd be one to kick their asses
not,
too.
I'm not
fully woke. Like
yeah,
Alex Jones.
I mean, look
not,
at you.
I'm not an aggressive person when it comes to like.
Really?
Oh, yeah, monetary policy, you get fucking aggressive.
I am passionate about issues, but I'm not going to go out and try and fight you. But these people want
taxation
to fight,
isn't
then
theft.
Yeah. Like,
yeah,
that's how I was raised.
You know,
like,
hey,
I was like, that's how I was raised. Don't start fights.
Building
but
7.
But finish them.
Building 7. Linking memes.
Fluoride.
Google.
Fluoride. Hey, did I punch Chris Galt first or did he punch me first?
He came at you first.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, I just sound it. Generation Y, a.k.a. the millennial or next gen, is 1980 to 1995. And then Generation Z is 96 to 2010.
So that's you.
So what that's. But I think I identify.
I think the next generation needs to be Generation.
Self-identify.
It's yeah. Gen Alpha, 2011 to 2025.
It needs to be Generation Prince symbol.
Oh, wow, that's hilarious. So good.
That would be perfect.
Purple Rain.
Lisa, thank you for being a monthly contributor to We Are Libertarians. We greatly appreciate that.
Thanks for coming all the way here to not go to the summer party.
That's right. I just came to come to this. And to see Tad Western. I'm really, really disappointed.
I didn't know I was supposed to invite him.
I need his phone number.
Okay. I got
he
it.
Doesn't have a phone number.
I know
says,
he
says, communicates says by smoke the stalker. Signals.
Whatever. I need his phone. I know I haven't figured that one out yet.
She just breathes on his window and then puts a smiley face.
You would be surprised how much you can learn on Google. Trust me, that was my job. Was to call college students.
I did the Googling.
Yeah.
You can find out a lot about a person on Facebook.
I need to.
Creepy wink.
I saw you were over there like creeping on.
I was trying to help Chris out over there.
breaking news. Miranda Barnett is on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Princess Miranda, Maranda, with some fire thought shots. So if you're a Miranda
fan. Did she make the new indie star?
Or yeah.
That, there
oh,
was some, yeah.
No, she twerked on the Smiley Morning Show's broadcast table. Yeah. There's also a video on her Instagram of her in a truck bed. Nude, being with water being poured on her. She
very 80s music video.
I haven't found that video.
If Whitesnake
really
was playing, that would be dope.
Yeah.
Right?
It was Chingy.
Was it Chingy?
That's
not.
When you do that right
there. I fucking love that song.
she
would be better if it was Whitesnake.
You have to go check out the Miranda's World episode where we talk about her making the snake pit nude again at the Indianapolis 500. So go to MirandaB.com. So, all right. Thank you so much for joining us here on this episode of We Are Libertarians. I appreciate you all so much. You're all great Americans. And as always, we promise
to do better next time.
Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.